So settle back with the star, Paul Glass, and Ryan Golden will give you the starting lineup.
For the New York Mets, it will be David Isidore, Reese Hoffman, and Ryan Shortstop. Batting second for him, second base, Jeremy Hill. Batting in the third position, and center field, Joe Christopher.
Frank Thomas playing left field. Batting fifth and back in the starting lineup at first base, Gil Hodges. Batting sixth at third base, Cliff Cook. The seventh batter in the batting order will be the right fielder, Jim Hickman. Batting eighth and catching in the first game, Barry Cheedy. And the pitcher, the starting pitcher for the New York Mets, Roger Craig. For the Chicago Cubs, Lou Brock will lead off. He'll be playing in center field. Batting second, playing second base, Ken Huff. The third batter, Billy Williams. He is second in the National League batting race. He'll be playing in left field. Batting fourth and playing first base, George Altman. Batting in the fifth spot, at third base, Ron Santo. Batting sixth, playing right field, Don Landrum. Batting seventh and doing the catching, L. Taffy. Batting in the eighth position, playing shortstop, Alex Grammas. And on the mound for the Chicago Cubs, batting ninth, Dick Ellsworth. Ernie Banks is not in the starting lineup today, and George Altman, who normally plays right field, will be at first base. Well, this is the final day of this sojourn here in Chicago. The Mets have won 2 of 3 so far against the Cubs, and it will be a doubleheader game here scheduled for today. After today's game, the Mets will move on to Houston. They'll be playing a night game on Monday night, a night game Tuesday night, a night game Wednesday night, and Thursday night. Then they'll return to the Polo Grounds and play their opening series against the Chicago Cubs on June 15th. There's all the Chicago Cubs out of the field. You know, popularity like Rheingold, well, it just doesn't happen. It's a result of millions of people agreeing that Rheingold has what they want in a beer, a refreshing difference that they can recognize right off. And two little words tell you what the difference is. The two words, extra dry. Yes, extra dry tells you Rheingold is beer as beer should be. Crisp and bright and clean, clear through. That's Rheingold beer for you. It is the beer for you. Rheingold is a better beer because it's the dry beer. It's a wonderful beer for those wonderful days we all like to enjoy. Even the flavor has a sparkle to it. You'll find that out with your very first glass of Rheingold extra dry. So why not do it right now? Join the millions who say, my beer is Rheingold the dry beer. Yes, sir. Think of Rheingold whenever you buy beer. Buy some today, tonight, or tomorrow, or the very first chance you get. Discover the difference the dry makes. Ask for Rheingold extra dry beer. All the umpires in today's game, it's Doug Crawford, Jack Crawford, behind the plate. At first base, Ed Bargo. At second base, Doug Harvey. And at third base, Al Barley. Dick Ellsworth, the starting pitcher, has completed his warm-up tosses. We're all set to go, and once again, it's a great pleasure to bring to the microphone to give you the play-by-play description, Lindsey Nelson.
Thanks very much, Ralph Kanner. Right-hand batter, Elio Chacon, with a batting average of 275, stepped into the batter's box to face left-hander Dick Ellsworth. Ellsworth, with a record of 4 victories and 7 losses thus far this season. This is the first game of scheduled doubleheader here at Wrigley Field in Chicago. As Ellsworth is in the windup and the pitch to Chacon. It's swung on and has a fly ball to right. Moving in underneath is Don Landrum. He's waiting, pounds the glove, and he hauls it in for the out. Elio Chacon, the Mets leadoff man, hopping on the first ball pitch with a towering fly ball into right there. It's one away, and Charlie Neal is coming up. Charlie Neal, a right-hand batter, hitting 277. Neal has 4 home runs to his credit this season. Defensively around the infield, the Chicago Cubs have George Altman at first base, Kenny Huff at second, Alex Grammas at short, and Ron Santo at third. Billy Williams in left field, Lou Brock in center, Don Landrum in right. Here's the pitch to Neal. It's right down the pike for a called strike one. Shag Crawford is the umpire behind the plate. Ed Bargo is at first, Doug Harvey is at second, and Al Barlick, the senior umpire in this quartet, is at third base. The pitch is inside and low to Charlie Neal. It's 1-1. The grounds crew here at Wrigley Field worked most of the morning in getting this infield area in playable condition. They burned it off with gallons of gasoline. Here's a curveball while it deep to left field. It is sending Williams back. It is going and it is gone for a home run for Charlie Neal. Charlie Neal lofting the ball over the ivy covered wall. And for Charlie Neal, that is home run number 5 this season. And the New York Mets are out in front. He hits the curveball over the left field wall. The Mets lead 1-0, and Christopher is coming up. Thank you. He's a right-hand batter, has good speed. Manager Casey Stengel is batting in number three in the batting order here this afternoon. Ellsworth is set to work and places the fastball in there for a called strike one. Ellsworth is making his second start of the season against the Mets in New York on May 16th. He started but did not figure in the decision. Pitch is outside for ball. The Mets won it 6-5 in 11 innings. Ellsworth that day pitched 8 innings. He gave up 8 hits, 5 runs. He walked 1, he struck out 2. Count of 1 ball and 1 strike to Joe Christopher at the plate. Stands in there, close to the plate, deep in the batter's box. Swing and a miss. It's 1-2. Last time Ellsworth started was on May 6th. He went all the way and defeated the Giants for the first time in his career, 4-3. Ellsworth's 4 victories this season have come against 4 different clubs, the Colt 45, the Cardinals, the Phillies, and the Giants. He's set to work for the 1-2 pitch to Christopher. Swung on it, the ground ball going through the hole into left field for a base hit. Billy Williams charging as the ball slows down on the wet turf in left field, fires it back into second, turning and holding it first is Joe Christopher with a ground single to left field. Second hit of the day for the New York Mets. Off Dick Ellsworth, and it brings up the cleanup batter, Frank Thomas. Thomas with a season batting average of 310, including 13 home runs. Thomas reaching down to get a handful of dirt. It's completely dry around the home plate area. And out there on the mound as well. Up the first baseline and down the third baseline. It's a little damp. They were out there with the rakes and the shovels and the gasoline burning off the infield most of the morning. It is still extremely damp around the dugout area. Here's a curveball cut on and full foul down into the dugout of the Chicago Cubs, located behind third base. And that's occupied the dugout along the first baseline. It's a strike one count now to Frank Thomas. Pitchers scheduled to go in the second game today are Bob Anderson for the Chicago Cubs and Ray Davio for the New York Mets. Gil Hodges is now swinging the bat in the on-deck circle for the Mets back in the lineup today. At first, Christopher takes his lead. Here's the pitch to Thomas. Hung on, it's going through. Kenny has it second. He moves over, steps on the bag, throws out the first base in time for the double play. A hard smash back through the box, but Kenny Hubbs, the second base, was pulled over near the bag, fielded the ball, and simply stepped on the bag and threw on for the double play to retire the side. So in the top half of the first inning, the New York Mets got one run on 2 hits, no errors, and none left. And at the end of one half inning of play at Wrigley Field in Chicago, the score is the New York Mets 1 and the Chicago Cubs nothing. You know, you've heard us say, it's beer as beer should taste. Well, think of that for a minute. Isn't that what you want in a beer? Don't you want a beer that's refreshingly dry to the taste, with a flavor that's brisk and bright and clean clear through? Well, that is Rheingold. Rheingold is brewed to be just that. Brewed of the choicest ingredients, brewed the long, slow, costlier way, Rheingold is everything you look for in a beer. And dry tells you why. Yes, extra dry means Rheingold's a better beer. It's a wonderful beer. And extra dry means Rheingold beer is more refreshing. The more refreshing a beer is, the more you're going to enjoy it. So enjoy fine, cold Rheingold beer along with the game. Join the millions who have made Rheingold New York's largest selling beer. We're going now to the bottom half of the first inning, and the Chicago Cubs are going to send up Lou Brock, Kenny Hubbs, and Billy Williams. And on the mound for the New York Mets, Roger Craig, making his 12th start of the season at his 16th appearance against Chicago. Craig's lifetime record is 6 victories and 3 losses. This season, he is 1-0. He's won 1 and lost none. He appeared for 3 innings in relief on May the 5th, gave up no runs and only 1 hit. Roger Craig is working here with 3 days rest. His last time out was on Wednesday, and he lost to the Phillies 2-0. He worked 8 innings, gave up 2 runs on 8 hits. Craig's record this year, 2 victories and 8 losses. Here's the pitch to left-hand batter Lou Brock. Swung on and popped up in foul territory. Back of the bag at first, Gil Hodges coming over and makes the catch near the coach's box to the out. Lou Klein, coaching at first, moving aside there to allow Hodges to come on and make the catch. Charlie Metro, the head coach of the Chicago Cubs, runs the club from the coaching box at third. Now Kenny Hubbs, the second baseman. He is coming up. Kenny Hubbs has a batting average of 270, and that includes three home runs. The Chicago Cubs are touting Kenny Hubbs for a spot on the National League All-Star team. Checks the swing and takes it outside for a ball. Cub followers will tell you that he makes the double play as well as anyone in the National League. He's only 20 years old. This is his first year in the Major League. But they think that there is a great future ahead of him. Checks this one and takes it for a call strike. It's 1-1. Gil Hodges is in action at first base today for the New York Mets. He has been troubled with a bad leg since spring training in Florida. Swing and a miss at the plate. It's 1-2. Actually, Hodges says that first noticed the bad leg after he went to sleep on a butt in Florida during spring training. Waked up and there was a muscle condition there that bothered him, and he just continued to bother him. Swing and a miss out of curveball. He struck him out. So Craig gets up swinging. That is the first strike out of the day for Roger Craig, and we'll bring up Billy Williams. Billy Williams, right now, the number two batter in the National League with a batting average of 344. When this series started, Williams was leading the National League at bat. However, Philippe Alou of the San Francisco Giants is now up on top, hitting 349. Here is the pitch coming in high to Billy Williams. He is a left-hand batter. Became a regular just about this time last year with the Chicago Cubs and came on to be Rookie of the Year. Check swing, pop that is going into foul territory and on up into the stands back at the Cub dugout. No play on the ball. It's 1-1. To Billy Williams with George Altman swinging the bats in the on-deck circle. As Ralph kind of pointed out, Ernie Banks is not in the lineup for the first game of today's doubleheader. Yesterday, head coach Charlie Metro dropped Banks down from his customary number four spot in the batting order to the number five spot. And today in the first game, he's taken him out of the batting order and has moved George Altman to first base, putting Don Landrum into the lineup in the outfield to replace Altman. The count to Billy Williams at the plate is one ball and one strike. Here's the pitch flung out. That's the fly ball going out. It's going to do quick for coming out. Can't get this. They're playing Williams on the deep and pull around going right. This is on a long run. Just get ready. Drops in for base hit. First base hit of the day for the Chicago Cubs. Off Roger Craig gives him the runner at first. Two men on and George Altman, the cleanup batter, is coming up. At game time here this afternoon in Chicago, the temperature is 79 degrees and the humidity is 62%. The wind is from the southwest at 16 miles per hour. George Altman up among the National League leaders in batting with an average of 335. Standing in there now. Swing the ground ball to the right side. Charlie Neal up with it on a big hop. Played over to Gil Hodges. Altman has grounded out second to first. And the Chicago Cubs are out in the bottom half of the first inning with no runs on one hit, no errors, and one man left. And at the end of one complete inning of play at Wrigley Field in Chicago, the score is the New York Mets 1 and the Chicago Cubs 0. This is the fourth game of a five-game series here at Wrigley Field in Chicago, and the Mets thus far have won 2 and lost 1 in the series. Mets have won 5 and lost 1 with the Chicago Cubs this entire season. And the Mets and the Cubs will be meeting at the Polo Grounds in New York next Friday night. Then on Saturday afternoon, it'll be a single game, and it'll be Ladies' Day and Camera Day, and then the Cubs and the Mets will meet in a doubleheader next Sunday afternoon at the Polo Grounds. In the National League today, the Los Angeles Dodgers are in Houston to take on the Colt 45s in a doubleheader. The Pittsburgh Pirates are in Milwaukee to take on the Braves in a doubleheader. It's going to be Friend against Pichet in the first game. San Francisco Giants are in St. Louis to take on the Cardinals in a doubleheader, and it's going to be Odell against Jackson in the first game. The Phillies are at Cincinnati to take on the Reds in a doubleheader, and it's going to be Hamilton against Jay in the first game. In the American League, the Baltimore Orioles are at New York to take on the Yankees in a twin bill. It'll be Pappas against Terry in the first game. Kansas City is at Los Angeles to take on the Los Angeles Angels in a doubleheader. The Chicago White Sox are at Minnesota to take on the Twins in a doubleheader. It's Harlan against Cott in the first game. Cleveland is at Boston to meet the Red Sox in the twin bill. It's Grant against Mombouquette in the first game. And the Detroit Tigers are in Washington to play the Washington Senators a doubleheader. At the end of 4.5 innings of the first game, it's the Senators 2, the Detroit Tigers 1, Rudolph against Reagan. Hicks and Boris have homered in that ball game. So that's the way the action is aligned in the major leagues for this Sunday afternoon. And here at Wrigley Field in Chicago, We're going to the top half of the second inning with Gil Hodges at the plate. Dick Ellsworth winds and fires low for ball one. Hodges, of course, the right-hand batter. Waits for the pitch from Ellsworth and takes it. A fastball in there for a call, strike one. Hodges has a season batting average of 308, and he has 8 home runs this season. While he has been out of action with the bad leg, the New York Mets have missed the big bat as well as his defensive prowess. One of the finest fielding first basemen the game has known. Here's a drive to right field. Landrum is coming on fast, and he can't get to it. He's driving in for a base hit. Don Landrum playing Hodges rather deep in right field. And got a late jump on the ball and came on but not fast enough to get it. So Gil Hodges has a base hit. That is hit number 3 for the Mets. Off Dick Ellsworth. And it will bring up Cliff Cook. Cliff Cook here yesterday had his second home run of the season, a tremendous wallop out over the 368-foot sign, on back over the bleachers and over the wire fence at the back of the bleachers out into the street. Right-hand batter, Cliff Cook. He is up here now with nobody out. Gil Hodges, the runner at first. Altman holding against the runner. Pitch to the plate, swung on it. It's a fly ball to right. Landrum moving over this time. Gets underneath, pounds the glove, and Don Landrum makes the catch. Fires it in. Hodges halfway on the fly ball to right field. Returns to back at first. There's one away, and rookie right fielder Jim Hickman is coming up. Hickman is hitting 266, and he has 7 home runs. And this young fella has turned in some sparkling defensive plays in the outfield this season for the New York Mets. This is Hickman's first season in the major leagues. He played at Portland last year, the Pacific Coast League, but has shown that he has good speed, he has a good arm, he can play that outfield, and has hit well enough to stick around, and with good power. Ellsworth's pitch, slow curve. It's in there for a call, strike one, to Jim Hickman. Harry Chidi has now moved to the on-deck circle for the New York Mets. Chidi is the catcher in the first game of today's doubleheader. With a right-hand batter against the left-hander, Dick Ellsworth, who's into the stretch. The pitch is on the way, swung on, it's a ground ball, going up the middle for a base hit. Gil Hodges moving on down to second. Hodges still favors that leg a little bit. He's not running freely at all. There was no chance whatsoever for him to go to third on the ground ball up the middle, and so he took it easy getting on down to second base. As Lou Brock came up with the ball, relayed it in. The Mets have runners at first and second. As Hickman gets the base hit in his first time up here today, and Harry Chidi's coming up with one man out. The Mets are leading in this ballgame by a score of 1-0 over the Chicago Cubs. Catcher Alvin Tappy has gone out to the mound to have a word with Dick Ellsworth, and now comes back to assume his position behind the plate. Harry Chidi has gone back to the dugout to get a helmet he had forgotten. It's extremely slushy and muddy in the area between the plate and the dugout. There's a little water standing there as we were down there before the ball game. Same thing is true, of course, on the other side of the diamond over toward the Cubs dugout. And the outfield area is extremely damp. The ground balls that have been going out there so far slow up considerably in the wet grass, so the outfielders have to charge them. Don't get any help from the ball hit hard to the outfield on the ground. Here's the pitch to Chidi. Slow curveball, and it hits deep to left field. A fly ball. Williams moves over and calls, and Williams makes the catch to the out. There's no advance. Hodges and Hickman returning to second and first, respectively. Yes, Harry Chidi out on the first ball, hit and sent a high fly ball out into left field where it was caged by Billy Williams. And that will bring up pitcher Roger Craig, veteran right-hander of the New York Mets. Until this season, performed exclusively in the major leagues with the Dodgers, the Brooklyn Dodgers, where he came up in 1955, and the Los Angeles Dodgers. Roger Craig, originally from Durham, North Carolina. Vicky Lavagetto is coaching at first base for the New York Mets, and Sally Hemus around at third. That is the usual alignment of coaches. Red Ruffing, the pitching coach, standing down in the bullpen area with his hands on his hips, and Red Crest on the coaching staff is in the dugout there with manager Casey Stengel. There's a pitch to Roger Craig. It goes low for ball. Breaking ball. Elio Chacon now in the on-deck circle. The Mets are leading the Cubs by a score of 1-0 by virtue of Charlie Neal's home run with nobody on in the top half of the first inning. And the Mets right now have runners at first and second. Pitch is swung on. It's a ground ball. And he's going up the middle. And he's fielded by the shortstop. Alex Grammer flips over to Ken Hubs for the force to take him out of the inning. So Roger Craig has forced Jim Hickman at second as Alex Grammer went over to field the ground ball, flip it over to Kenny Hubs for the force. And in the top half of the second inning, the Mets got no runs on 2 hits, no errors, and 2 left. And at the end of an inning and a half at Wrigley Field in Chicago, The score is the New York Mets 1, the Chicago Cubs nothing. And coming up now, a musical pitch with an interesting switch.
This is Tito Rodriguez for Rainbow's Extra Drive.
Rainbow el brindis perfecto para todos, familia y amigos. De sabor sin igual, la cerveza ideal. Tome Rainbow bien fría y verá.
In Spanish, it's magnífica. In English, it's great. In any language, it's Rainbow Extra Dry. Rainbow is brewed longer and slower for flavor that's clean, clear through. It's beer as beer should taste. Dry tells you why.
My beer is Rainbow, the dry beer. Think of Rainbow whenever you buy beer. It's not bitter, not sweet. The dry flavor sweet. Want to try extra dry Rainbow beer?
As we go to the bottom half of the second inning now, the Chicago Cubs will send up Ron Santo, Don Landrum, and Elvin Tappy to face Roger Craig. The home attendance of the New York Mets thus far has considerably exceeded the home attendance of the Chicago Cubs, one of the old established franchises of the National League. The Cubs, this season again, 28 dates, they've gone 177,454 in 28 home dates. 177,000. The Mets have exceeded that considerably in fewer dates. 20 dates, the Mets have drawn 353,181. All right, here is Ron Santo at the plate for the first time today. He's a right-hand batter. Holds that bat high, and the pitch misses inside for ball one. Roger Craig, hurling the first game of today's doubleheader for the New York Mets. Pitch to Santo. Misses outside for ball. Two balls and no strikes now. And a call strike. It's 2-1 now to Ron Santo. Sun shining here at Wrigley Field at the moment. Clouds overhead, broken, scattered clouds overhead. That pitch is low for a ball. Three balls and one strike. Now to Ron Santo, leading off for the Cubs in the bottom half of the second inning, with the Mets leading by a score of 1-0. Here's a 3-1 pitch to Santo, swung on, and it hits through the hole in the left field for a base hit. Frank Thomas coming on. Get the slow-rolling ground ball on the wet turf, fires it back in, and turning and holding it first is Santo. With a single to left, the second hit of the day for the Cubs off Roger Craig, and it brings up Don Landrum. Don Landrum's a left-hand batter. The Chicago Cubs got him from the St. Louis Cardinals recently, along with Alex Gramas from the Cardinals. Roger Craig waiting for a moment now as Don Landrum getting straightened out there, getting the cloth cap into his hip pocket. Cap that he had to take off when he put on the helmet at the plate. And now Landrum is standing and waiting for the first pitch. As Craig is into the stretch, and the pitch to Landrum is low for a ball. Year before last, or rather last season it was, the St. Louis Cardinals opened with Landrum in center field. He was their opening day center fielder. Of course, later on, Kirk Flood became center fielder and had a fine season, but Landrum is a man they started with at the start of last season. That pitch is inside for ball. 2-0. The manager of that Cardinal team, of course, was Sally Hemus, who is now on the coaching staff of the New York Mets. Time has been called here, and Gil Hodges has gone over to the mound to have a word with Roger Craig. They spent many years together with the Dodgers. Hodges and Craig. Now Landrum calls time and asks for the rosin bag to be brought over from the on deck circle. Powders a little rosin on the handle of the bat and goes back around stepping. He's left-hand batter. Cliff Cook is even with the bag at third base for the New York Mets. As Craig throws over to first, not in time. Craig has one of the better moves to first base for a right-hand pitcher in the National League. Throw over and a hit. They picked it off. Megan Hodges has to throw down to Chacon, and he tagged him. He was picked off so far that he didn't try to get back to the bag at first. Instead, he went on to second. So it goes 1-3-6 if you're scoring. So Gil Hodges and Roger Craig have collaborated on a pickoff, as they have done before this season. And Edwin was affected beautifully, picking off Ron Santo from Craig to Hodges and Chacon. Count to Landrum at the plate. Two balls and no strikes. And here's the pitch in there for a call strike. It's 2-1. Nobody on base and one man out for the Cubs in the bottom half of the second inning. Here's a ground ball to the right side. It's foul up the first base line, falling off time. And actually, Craig, who had come off the mound, tried to feel it, followed it right on over and fields the ball over near the coaching box at first. Lou Klein is coming over also, but Craig got to the ball before Klein did. Umpire Shag Crawford behind the plate exchanges balls. It's 2-2. Anytime a ball gets over there in that wet area today, he'll have to exchange and get a dry one into play. Landrum is hitting an even 300 for the season with the Cardinals and the Cubs. There's a ground ball fielded deep by Gil Hodges. It's a fair ball, and he plays over to Craig covering in time. Well, the former Dodgers down there collaborating. Great style. Hodges fielded that one deep behind the bag. The fair sign was given by Ed Vargo, the first base umpire, and coming over to cover with Roger Craig, took the underhand toss in time. Two away, nobody on, and Elvin Tappy's coming up. El Tappy, who started this season as head coach of the Chicago Cubs, now is listed as a player coach and is on the active player roster. And he's been hitting at an amazing clip. He's hitting 320, much better than he ever hit at any other time during his playing career. He said it's because the pressure is off, that he doesn't have the pressure that he did when he was simply a player. Pitches outside for a ball. He says now he doesn't worry too much. He just goes up there and swings because he thinks that he is primarily on the active player list for the purpose of helping the younger pitchers. Due to behind the plate, as a result, he's hitting 320. Swings and fouls it off. It's 1-1. Tappy started the season as the head coach. Cubs were 4-16 under him, and he relinquished the reins to Lou Klein, and Klein, in turn, has given way to Charlie Metro. Pitches high and tight for a ball. It's 2-1. The members of the multiple coaching staff of the Chicago Cubs think that one of its greatest attributes is the fact that when you lose your job, you don't get fired. Here's a pitch coming inside. It's 3-1 now to Tappy. Lou Klein, the former head coach who has the same duties and responsibilities and privileges as the manager, was replaced by Metro, but he is still right here on the club and is coaching on that first base. 2-0, nobody on, account of 3 balls and 1 strike. El Tappy as Roger Craig comes through with the pitch, and it's inside ball four. He walked him. That's the first walk given up by Craig. He took a kick at the turf. That went just missing inside, and that brings up Alex Grammett, the shortstop. Grammett has a season's batting average of .087. Initially came to the National League with the St. Louis Cardinals, signed for $100,000. He was traded over Cincinnati, and then he came back to the Cardinals, and now he's come on to the Cubs. It's in there for a call strike. Elvin Tappy taking short lead down that first height. He's not trying to hold him on. Curveball is belted foul down the third baseline between Charlie Metro and the coach's box and the bag. Continuing on out into the Cubs bullpen area located down the line in left field. You're at Wrigley Field in Chicago. Harry Cheedy's gone out now to have a word with Roger Craig. Cheedy started his major league career here at Chicago with these Cubs. Manager Casey Stengel was on a pregame show with Lou Boudreau, who broadcast the Cub games with Jack Quinlan here in Chicago. Casey got a big hand from the crowd. Pitches outside for a ball. Because most of them had read in the newspapers about Casey's show after the game yesterday. He appeared on a post-game show with Jack Brickhouse, who does the telecast here, in the midst of a rainstorm and an electrical storm, and they stood there under an umbrella and did the show. Pitches outside for a ball. It's 2-2 now. And then When the show was over and Casey started back to the dugout, in a downpour, there was a youngster soaked there in the box seat area asking for an autograph. So Casey stopped and autographed the scorecard for the youngster in the midst of the downpour. 2-2 pitch. Swung on, and it's foul ball right down into the dirt in the batter's box, and the count holds it 2-2 to Alex Grammas. Two men out, and Alvin Tappy is the base runner at first base for the Cubs. The Mets are leading by a score of 1-0 by virtue of Charlie Neal's first inning home run. Here's the pitch swung on and foul back onto the screen, out of play. Count continues to hold it 2-2 to Alex Grammas, the shortstop, who is batting number 8 in the batting order for the Chicago Cubs. Again, Craig is set to work. Pitch is swung on, foul back onto the screen again, so the count continues to hold at 2-2. Dick Ellsworth, the pitcher, has come out to the on-deck circle. He's standing there holding a bat in the on-deck circle. A little unusual for a pitcher to come out there and take his place in the on-deck circle. Jay Hook of the New York Mets does it continually, but most pitchers prefer to stay in the dugout until it's time for him to come up. Here is a ground ball that's going past the Chicago out of the left field for a May 6th. Frank Thomas up with it, relays it back in. Chacon tried to get way over the hole to back end, but couldn't get to it. It was labeled base hit from the time it left the bat. So Gamet has hit the 2-2 pitch in the left, and holding it second, Elvin Tappy. The Cubs have runners at first and second, 2 men out, and pitcher Dick Ellsworth is coming up. And that was base hit number 3 for the Cubs off Roger Craig. Ellsworth is a left-hander all the way. He bats left as well as pitches left. And he's facing right-hander Roger Craig, who is under the stretch, and the pitch to Ellsworth is outside for a ball. Ellsworth's been up 24 times this season. He has 2 base hits. He has drawn 7 walks. Craig is looking in to catch a Harry Cheedy. He has a sign, runners leading at first and second, and the pitch. It's a high hopping ground ball to Chacon at short. He plays over to Charlie. No, he's going to first base with it in time for the out. Started to go to Charlie Neal for the fourth and then whipped it on over to first base to Gil Hodges in time. Wanted to be sure to get the one that he could get. So the Chicago Cubs are out in the bottom half of the second inning with no runs on 2 hits, no errors, and 2 left. And at the end of 2 complete innings of play at Wrigley Field in Chicago, the score is the New York Mets 1, the Chicago Cubs nothing. If you'd like to purchase tickets for any future Met home games, there are a number of convenient ticket locations where that can be done. There's the ticket office, open 7 days a week, on the street level, the 8th Avenue side of the Polo Grounds in New York. There is a ticket office in Grand Central Station at the foot of the Vanderbilt Avenue ramp. There's a ticket office in Pennsylvania Station in the Long Island waiting room. You can make ticket reservations at any Howard Close store in the greater New York area, or you can order your tickets by mail, addressing your request to Ticket Manager, Polo Grounds, New York, 39 New York. Box seats are $3.50 each. Reserve seats at $2.50 each, enclosed 25 cents additionally for postage and handling. And right now, in order to allow our stations to identify themselves, we pause now for station identification.
This is WGY Schenectady, where you can hear all the games of the New York Mets. For baseball, for the best in music, for comprehensive, reliable news reporting, stay tuned to WGY.
This is Lindsey Nelson with Ralph Kiner and Bob Murphy at Wrigley Field in Chicago. Dick Ellsworth, the last batter, has just come out of the dugout and gone out to the mound to start his warm-up toss. He's taking a little extra time since he was the last batter and was retired on an infield out. And Elio Chacon will be up to lead off for the New York Mets here in the top half of the third inning. The Mets tomorrow morning will fly down to Houston and take on the Houston Colt 45s. We'll be on the air at 9:55 p.m. New York time tomorrow night to bring you the New York Mets and the Houston Colt 45s. Right here as we go to the top half of the third inning, the New York Mets are leading in the ballgame by a score of 1-0. Elio Chacon standing just outside the batter's box, ready to step in. And ready to step in here is Ralph Kiner.
Thank you, Lindsey. Well, we're off to another good baseball game here in Chicago. All 3 of the ball games certainly full of very good ball plays. Elio Chacon leading off here for the New York Mets. Mets lead it at this point, 1-0, top of the third. And the first pitch to Chacon is bunted foul down to starts at first base side. Strike one. Dick Ellsworth on the mound for the Chicago Cubs. Big, tall, left-handed pitcher. He has given up one run, allowed four hits so far in the game. No strikeouts, no walks. He has good control. And he's a very, very good fielding pitcher. Elio Chacon, right-handed batter. And the one-strike pitch. Curveball, it's down low, ball one. One ball, one strike. Back to the plate, and the ball is way inside. Chacon has to do a little jig to get out of the way. Ball two. Pitch going on back through to the screen. Two balls and one strike. Ellsworth has a record of 4 wins and 7 losses on the year. This is his 16th appearance and his 12th start for the Chicago Cubs. No record against the New York Mets. A 2-1 pitch to Chacon. Again, an attempt at a bunt and it's fouled off. So the strike goes down and it's 2 strikes and 2 balls. Ron Sandel, the third baseman, playing deep at third base, so Chacon trying to catch him napping there. Shortstop is Alex Grammas. The second baseman, Ken Hubbs. The first baseman is George Altman. There's one right back at Ellsworth, and he catches it on the line. That ball is well hit, and Ellsworth took it with his glove down just below the waist. One out, going out on a vicious line drive right back to the box. And the batter now, Charlie Neal. And Charlie has scored the only run of the ball game. That came on his home run, his fifth of the year. First pitch to Johnny Neal, swung on and fouled straight back. Strike one. Ellsworth led the National League pitchers in fielding. One time, he handled 41 without an error. One strike pitch to Charlie Neal, down low, ball one. Ellsworth is not known as a blazing fastball pitcher. He has good control, mixes up his pitches well. First time he pitched against a major league club, he pitched a four-hit shutout. A 1-1 pitch to Charlie, swung on and fouled away, strike two. That was back in 1958. In fact, it was June 6, 1958, in the annual boys' benefit game here in Chicago. And he shut out the Chicago White Sox. Ironically, every year it seems that the Cubs always beat the White Sox in their city series. White Sox, of course, have had the much better record over the past 15 years. There's a swing and again a foul ball. And the count holds a 1-2. Cubs have not been in the first division for 15 years. Last time they were in the first division, back in 1946, they finished third that year after winning the pennant in 1945. Again, the 1-2 pitch to Johnny Neal, and once again, fouled away. The on-deck batter, Joe Christopher. One out, the score, 1-0 in favor of the Mets, top of the third. Ellsworth back to Neal with a curveball that's down low, ball two. 2 balls and 2 strikes. Charlie's home run for the only run of the game. A line shot that just cleared the fence on top of the wall in straightaway left field. That's the furthest part of the left field area. There's a well there, and the ball has to hit further down in straightaway left field than it is in left center. Next pitch to Johnny Neal is ball inside. Ball three. 3 balls and 2 strikes now. The can all the way out. Charlie has 4 hits and 11 appearances against the Chicago Cubs in this series. The let-up hit to left field. Only Williams going back now has to come in, and he makes the catch. 2 outs now, the batter, Joe Christopher. Joe, 1-for-1 in the ballgame. He singled to left field after Neal's home run for the only run of the game. Joe plays center field, bats from the right-hand side. And the first
first pitch by the left-hander. It's low curveball. It's down low. Ball one. Al Tappy, the catcher for the Chicago Cubs. Now Ellsworth back to Tappy, and it's taken low again. Ball two. Two balls and no strike. Christopher batting 203. Playing in center field, manager Casey Stengel, placing him in center field after he started out in right. Let up, swung on and missed, strike one. Casey figuring that Joe did not go exceptionally well to his left in right field. And in the polo ground, this is a big part of playing right field. Swung on and missed, strike one. Casey figuring that Joe did not go exceptionally well to his left in right field. And in the polo ground, this is a big part of playing right field. Due to the fact they play so far over towards left center. Pitch back to the plate is low. Ball three. Three balls and one strike. So with two outs, the count 3-1. Dick Ellsworth takes time on the mound. The on-deck batter is Frank Thomas. Now the windup and the 3-1 pitch. Taken outside, ball four. So Ellsworth walks his first man, and that brings up Frank Thomas. Frank hit it to a double play his first time up. 0 for 1. He's batting 309. Years ago, the fans in the left field bleacher area used to throw gum out to the left fielder that played for the Cubs. I asked Frank if they still did that. He said, no, they gave it up. Naturally, there's a pitch that swung on and hit high in the air towards the shortstop side. The shortstop, Ramos, is there, and he makes the catch. And that retires the side. So, in the inning for the New York Mets, no runs, no hits. There were no errors. One walk and one man left. And the score at the end, 2.5 innings to play. The New York Mets won, the Chicago Cubs, nothing. You know, fans, any time is a good time to enjoy the brisk, bright flavor of Rheingold. But it goes especially well with these wonderful days coming up. Yes, wonderful days call for the wonderful taste of Rheingold Extra Dry. A taste that's brisk and bright and clean, clear through. Rheingold, you know, is beer as beer should taste. And dry tells you why. It tells you that Rheingold is brewed the long, slow, costlier way. Brewed extra dry to be extra refreshing. So better stock up now and have plenty of cool, refreshing Rheingold extra dry at hand. Enjoy those wonderful days with the wonderful beer, Rheingold Extra Dry. Speaking of enjoyment, the Mets will move on to Houston and then return to the polo grounds on June 15th to open up a four-game series with the Chicago Cubs. And on June 16th, they're going to have a special day at the polo grounds, Camera Day. So all you camera fans, from 12 to 12:45, you can take pictures of the Mets at your request, and there will be prizes awarded for the best pictures taken. That's Camera Day, June 16th. Also Ladies' Day, and the Cubs against the Mets. Moving to the bottom half of the third. The Cubs coming to bat, Roger Craig is the pitcher, and the leadoff man in the third for the Cubs is Lou Brock. Left-handed batter playing center field, and the first pitch to him, a strike call. Mets lead it 1-0. As a result of a home run by Charlie Neal. Cook at third base playing about 60 feet away from Lou Brock, left-handed batter. Pitch a curveball that catches on the outside corner, strike two. Now Cook moving back at third with the two-strike count and the possibility of a bunt attempt practically eliminated. And Roger Craig into the windup, and the pitch is just outside. The same curveball, but missing just a degree outside of the plate. One ball, two strikes. Brock 0 for 1 in the ballgame. He came on at 264. Next pitch to Brock, hit deep to left field. Thomas, a slow start, now back in the well. He is there, and he can't hold it. Well,
left field, went back in the hole, and that well forced it and left. And it's a little harder than it looks, because you're never too sure where the wall is as it comes out. And Frank wasn't sure, and at the last minute, as he guarded against the wall, he reached out to catch the ball that was off of his glove. It scored a three-base hit. And now a runner at third base. He represents the tie run. The batter is Ken Huff. Huff plays second base. That's right-handed. Infield playing back. They're going to give up the run. It's early in the ballgame. And the first pitch to Huff. The curve is outside. Ball one. Cubs now with no one out and a runner at third base. He represents the tying run in the ballgame. Roger Craig into the lineup. And the 1-0 pitch to Hobbs. Hits to center field. This will fall run. He might go for extra bases. Hits for back by the warning track. Can't get to it. Off the wall. Going from third base. Blue blocker. Joe jumped high in the air and at the same time hit the wall coming down. The ball off of the wall and off of the glove, rolling back away from center field, which allowed Hubs to come in from third base to go to third base and allowed Brock to score from third. Brock would have scored in either case, whether the catch was made or not. Now the batter, Billy Williams, and the first pitch to him is down low, ball one. Williams sliced a single to left center field his first time up. Came in the ball game at 3:44. Pitch back to the plate. A curve that's outside. Ball two. At the start of today's action in the National League, Williams was the second top batter in the National League. Top man, Felipe Lou, hitting 3:49. A let-up hit hard to the first baseman Hodges. He backhands the ball, throws the great covering, and holding at third base is Lou Brock. Good play by Gill at first base. One out now, and the batter is George Altman. George has had quite a series against the Mets here in Wrigley Field. The start of the ball game, he had 8 hits and 11 times up. In one case, he was 5-6. Out in this ball game is second base, so he has 8 hits 12 times up. He started the ball game at 3:35. Left-handed batter. Infield back at short and second. Halfway, now back at first. In at third base. First pitch to Altman, popped up in the air. Cook is under the ball, shading his eyes from the sun. Now moving to his left, and he makes the catch. So, Roger Craig with a runner at third base, and he represents the go-ahead run. Picking up two outs, and the runner's still there. And now the batter, Ron Santo. Santo has one hit and one time up. Playing third base, batting right-handed. 1-1 ball game. Two men down in the bottom half of the third inning, the first game of two. Roger into the full windup, and the pitch to the plate to Santo is inside, ball one. Infield shifted over towards left, playing Santo to pull, outfield the save. Thomas, Christopher, and Hickman in the outfield for the Mets. The 1-0 pitch to Santo, a curveball that's low and outside. Ball two. Two balls and no strikes. The on-deck batter, a left-handed batter, Don Landrum. Roger Craig pitching carefully to Santo. He has good power.
And the 2-0 pitch. Call strike one right through on the inside corner. Two balls and one strike. Plenty of sunshine here now. Outfielders with sunglasses in left and center. And also in right. It's a bright day. And a high sky. Now Roger to Ron Sano. And the pitch is swung on and fouled away. Sano tried to check his swing and couldn't get the bat out of the way. And the ball slid off his bat. Back to home plate in foul territory. Count now, two balls and two strikes with two outs. Ken Helms at third base. He's there as a result of a triple which drove in the only run for the Cubs. Drove in Lou Brock from third, and he had triple. Now the right-hander with a 2-2 pitch. Hit to left field, a line drive. Thomas is there, though, and he backs up and makes the catch, and that retires the side. So in the inning, the Chicago Cubs score one run. They had two hits, two triples. There were no errors, and one man was left on. And the score now at the end of three. The New York Mets won, the Chicago Cubs won. Well, let's take a look at the other games played around the major leagues. In the National League, no action yet in Houston. The Dodgers playing a doubleheader there. At Pittsburgh, in the first of a doubleheader, the Pirates out in front by a score of 2-0 after 1.5. Friend pitching for the Pirates and Pache going for the Milwaukee Braves. And they scored their two runs on a home run by Mazeroski. In St. Louis, the San Francisco Giants, who now are in second place, are trailing the Cardinals by a score of 3-0 at the end of one. Odell and Jackson, the starting pitchers in that ball game. San Francisco has lost four in a row, and they're on their way to number five. St. Louis, a red-hot club after a long losing streak, has won five in a row. That's the first game of two. Bailey, a home run in the second. In Cincinnati, the Philadelphia Phillies trailing Cincinnati 4-1 at the end of 2.5. Hamilton pitching for Philadelphia, Joey J for Cincinnati. That's the first game of a doubleheader. Well, that brings you up to date on the National League. Here's a New York score. Baltimore 2, New York nothing at the end of 2.5. In that game, it's Pappas and Terry. Herzog got a home run in the second. First pitch to Gil Hodges is swung on and fouled away, strike one. Snyder also hit a home run that game for the Orioles, so they scored both of their runs on home runs off of Ralph Terry. The one strike pitch to Gill is down low, ball one. Right here, the score of the ball game all tied up, 1-1. Gil Hodges leading off for the Mets in the top of the fourth inning. Dick Ellsworth with a pitch that's outside. Ball two. Two balls and one strike. Gil dumped the single into right field, right center field, his first time up. So he is 1-for-1. Came into the ball game with a 3.08 average. Ellsworth back with a fastball in the outside corner. Strike two. It will be Gil Hodges, Cliff Cook, and Jim Hickman for the Mets here against Dick Ellsworth in the top of the fourth inning. Ellsworth taking time on the mound now, has the sign and winds up. And the 2-2 pitch, a curveball. Swung on, hit the shallow left field. Going back is the shortstop, Grammas, and he makes the catch. Good play by Alex Grammas. Going into left field. He went about 60 feet in the left field to pull that one down. So Hodges is out for the first out. You know, my beer is Rheingold, the dry beer. How about you? Just about enough time to open up or order up a Rheingold before Cliff Cook comes to bat. First pitch to Cliff is swung on, hit down to the shortstop, Grammas. He takes the bat off, makes a good play on it, and throws the man out.
Cook on that play broke his bat. So now two men are out, and the batter is Jim Hickman. Hickman has singled in one time up here today. Came into the ballgame hitting .266. First pitch to the right-handed batter is down low, ball one. One ball, no strike. Now Ellsworth back to Hickman, and this one's hit hard to right center field. Going back there, he can't get to it. It's off of the wall. Is Don Mattingham, the throw coming into second base, is not in time, and Hickman has a stand-up double, his second base hit in the game. That ball was a line drive to right center field, hitting high off the wall, just at the area near the top of the wall. And so Hickman, with two outs, is out at second base, and the batter is Harry Chidi. Hit number five off Dick Ellsworth. It's a 1-1 ball game as Chidi gets in the batter's box. Harry flat out to left field his first time up. Batting .235. First pitch by Ellsworth is a curveball that's dug out of the dirt by Al Tappy. Ball one. Now Ellsworth with the 1-0 pitch, a fastball, swing and a miss. Strike one. One strike, one ball. Here's the final. Washington defeated Detroit 2-1. As Rudolph hits a five hitter to win it. Losing pitcher was Reagan. Washington 2 runs on 4 hits. Detroit 1 run on 5. Next pitch to Harry Chidi is inside. Ball two. 2 balls and 1 strike. Jim Hickman at second base with a short lead. 1-1 ball game, top of the fourth inning. Now Hickman moving off, and the pitch back to Chidi is a curveball swung on, chopped down to third. Sano coming in makes a nice play in the ball and throws his man out. And that retires the side. In the inning for the Mets, no runs, 1 hit. There were no errors. 1 man left. The score at the end of 3 1/2 innings of play. The New York Mets 1, the Chicago Cubs 1. Now here's the score on cigarettes. If you figure you're losing out with a brand that's tasting hotter and drier with every smoke, make a real switch. Come all the way up to cool.
Your cigarette's not tasting cool enough unless you're smoking cool. You're not smoking cool enough till you come up to cool.
Cool's menthol magic, brightens taste, refreshing all day through.
Feel extra coolness in your throat as cool comes through for you. Your cigarette's not tasting cool enough unless you're smoking cool. You're not smoking cool, cool, cool enough till you come up to cool.
Yes, fans, Cool's Menthol Magic will score every time. You'll feel extra coolness in your throat all through the game. Get Cool Filter Kings or Cool Without Filter. And while we wait here, let's pause for station identification.
Tom 258, this is WABC, AM and FM, New York's first station.
This is WGY Schenectady.
Along with Lindsey Nelson and Bob Murphy from Wrigley Field in Chicago, with the ballgame all tied up at 1-1 and the Cubs coming to bat. It's the bottom half of the fourth inning, and Don Landrum will lead off for Chicago. Landrum, a left-handed batter, playing in right field. And the first pitch to Landrum is a strike call. Roger Craig in the mound for the Mets. He has gone through 3 now, allowed 1 run, given up 5 hits. The Cubs have their 1 run on 5 also. Pitch back to Landrum, line into center field. Christopher coming on, can't sit to it. Takes it on the first stop, and Landrum has a base hit. Throw coming in to Idiushi Cole, Landrum holding there. So now the Cubs, a runner at first base with no one out, and the batter's El Tappy. first time up, the only walk issued by Roger Craig. He is not known as a good hitter, although he has a good average. The bouncing ball hit over the pitcher's mound, she called in, flips to Neal at second base for the force out. No throw to first. That ball was a slowly hit bouncing ball. Neely was going in to take the ball in front of the bag. He flipped the ball as he caught it one-handed in his glove to second base, right out of the glove. He did not throw it with his right hand. Neal made the force play there with no throw to first. So exchanging at first base, tapping from Landrum, one out, and the batter is Alex Ramos, the shortstop. Ramos singled to left field his first time up. Right-handed batter, the first pitch to him is low and inside, ball run. Gil Hodge is not holding Tappy on at first. Tappy is not fast. Gil taking advantage of the lack of speed by getting more room at first to field. Ramos with not much power being played straight away and shallow. Next pitch back to the plate, a called strike. One ball, one strike. Alex Ramos and Don Landrum came to the Chicago Cubs in exchange for B.G. Smith, who started the season with the Mets, and Darryl Robertson, who was an infielder for Chicago. Ramos swings and fouls the next pitch into the stands for strike two. Cubs looking for a shortstop, and they've been looking for one for quite some time. They have a good hitting ball club with good power, but their defense is lacking. So they are hoping that Grammis can fill the spot at short with good defensive play. One ball and two strikes. Roger Craig returns to the plate, and again it's fouled straight back. So the count will stay at one ball and two. Joe Christopher now being moved over to straightaway center field. He was shaded towards left. Thomas playing a deep left field. Christopher a shallow center field. Hickman a shallow right field. Craig back to the plate, and again, a fastball fouled away. So three in a row, and the count holds to one ball and two strikes. 1-1 ball game, one out, bottom half of the fourth inning. Roger Craig into the stretch, and the pitch to the plate is fouled again. So four times in a row, and four times. Count stays at one and two. Good crowd in the ballpark here today. The on-deck batter is Dick Ellsworth, the pitcher, and he, like Jay Hook, in the on-deck circle. He doesn't wait his turn in the dugout. He's a good hitter. There's a curveball hit deep to left field. Thomas will go back in the well. He's by the warning track, and he makes the catch. And the throw coming in chases El Tappy back to first base, so two men are out now as Ramos goes down with a long drive to Thomas in deep left field. And that brings up Dick Ellsworth. Dick 0 for 1, a left-handed batter. He grounded out to short his first time up. This fella had quite a high school career. Ellsworth takes the first pitch to curve. Ball one. In high school, Ellsworth won 110 games and lost only five. Pitch back and it's fouled away. One ball, one strike. Ellsworth went to high school in Fresno, California. He also played American Legion baseball. Chokes up on the bat about 3 inches. Now a 1-1 pitch by Craig to Ellsworth. The slider outside. Ball two. Two balls and one strike. Ellsworth had some arm trouble last year. He won 10 and lost 11 for the Cubs, so. 2-1 pitch to him, fouled straight back. So the count now, two balls and two strikes, two outs, a 1-1 game.
Cubs finished seventh last year. So, with the seventh-place club, anytime your pitching record beats the win and loss average of the ball club, you're doing a pretty good job. There's a fastball, swing and a miss, strike three. So Roger Craig picks up his second strikeout to retire the side. In the inning for the Chicago Cubs, no runs on one hit. There were no errors. One man left in the score. At the end of four innings complete, the New York Mets won, the Chicago Cubs won. Now as we move to the top half of the fifth inning, once again, here is Lindsay Nelson.
Right, Ralph Kiner, and tomorrow night we'll be in Houston, Texas. To broadcast a game between the New York Mets and the Houston Colt 45s, we'll be on the air at 9:55 p.m. New York time. All four of the games, all night games, will be broadcast, of course, from Houston as we bring you all Met games, and the Tuesday night game will be carried on television as well. Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, and Thursday night. And, of course, you can follow the Mets all season long on radio and television, but if you'd like to follow them even further, you can do that with the New York Mets yearbook by reading the history of each player, and there are pictures. There's also a history of the many sports events that have taken place at the Polo Grounds through the years. And the Mets yearbook is on sale at the Polo Grounds at each home game. And if you'd like to order a Mets yearbook by mail, you can address your request to yearbook, Polo Grounds, New York, 39 New York, enclosed 50 cents for each copy of the yearbook that you wish. If you're driving to a home game for the New York Mets this season, keep in mind, please, that the parking lots at Yankee Stadium are open for all Met home games, as well as the parking lots at the Polo Grounds. We'll be going now to the top half of the fifth inning, and the New York Mets will send up Roger Craig, Leo Chacon, and Charlie Neal with a score tied here, 1-1. The Mets got their one run in the top half of the first inning. Charlie Neal hit a home run over the left field fence, and the Chicago Cubs got their one run in the bottom half of the third inning when Lou Brock tripled and was brought home by a succeeding triple by Ken Hubbs. Now here is Roger Craig. Been up one time and he forced Jim Hickman at second base. He is nothing for one today. Facing the left-hander, Dick Ellsworth, with a season record of 4 victories and 7 losses, the slow curveball goes high and it's ball one. ...31-year-old Roger Craig at the plate. Takes inside for ball two. It's 2-0. Sun is shining here at Wrigley Field in Chicago. But there are areas of the park that are still considerably damp from the rains of last night and this morning. The pitch is in there for a call, strike one. Fastball, it's 2-1. Roger Craig is still looking for his first base hit of the season. There's swinging a ground ball to shortstop. Taking back Grandma's up with it. He throws on to Altman at first, and Craig has grounded out. One away. Nobody on base, and Elio Chacon, the leadoff man, coming up. He flied to right, and he lined out to Dick Ellsworth in the third inning. Chacon is nothing for two. He's hitting 273 for the season. One triple and five doubles. Chacon has batted in 14 runs. Selected off the roster of the Cincinnati Reds by the Mets. Here's swinging a ground ball to third. Taken by Santo. He fires on to first to Altman in time, and Chacon has grounded out. Santo to Altman, third to first. 2 men out, nobody on, and Charlie Neal's coming up. He has had a home run, and he flies to left field. 5 home runs this season for Charlie Neal. In center field, Lou Brock shades around toward left now. On the right-hand batter, Charlie Neal, as left-hander Dick Ellsworth comes down with the pitch and a slow for ball one. 2 men out and nobody on base for the Mets batting in the top half of the fifth inning. That pitch is low. It's 1-1. Or rather, 2-0. 2 balls and no strikes. Joe Christopher dealing in the on-deck circle. There's a swing and a foul ball out to the right. right side into the stands and out of play. Two balls and one strike, not a deal. George Altman playing first base for the Chicago Cubs, as Ernie Banks is not in the lineup in the first game of today's doubleheader. Here's a swing and a foul ball coming back onto the screen, out of play, and the count's 2-2 to Charlie Neal. The Chicago Cubs have first-year men at second base and center field. Kenny Hubbs to second base, Lou Brock in center field. Brock has been a tremendous defensive performer out there in center field for the Chicago Cubs. With an excellent arm as well. Here's the 2-2 pitch. Swung on and foul back on the screen, out of play. So the count holds to Charlie Neal at 2-2. Shortstop has been something of a problem for the Cubs this season. They've played Andre Rogers there. They moved Sanzo over there at one stretch and had Jim McKnight playing third. They've had Darryl Robertson there before he was traded to the Cardinals, and they have Alex Gramas playing there right now. Swing and a miss. He struck him out to retire the side. That is the first strikeout of the day for Dick Ellsworth. Coming here in the top half of the fifth inning, and Ellsworth got the mess out in order in the top of the fifth with no runs on, no hits, no errors, and nobody left. And at the end of 4.5 innings of play at Wrigley Field in Chicago, the score is the New York Mets 1 and the Chicago Cubs 1. Well, you've all seen what happens when a player goes into a batting slump. But say, you fans who are smokers, did you ever find your cigarette going into a slump? That brand you've been smoking ever begin to taste hot, dry, and flat? When your cigarette begins to strike out on you, it's time you made a change, a real change. It's time you came up to cool. Fact is, your cigarette's not tasting cool enough till you come up to cool. That's because Kool's menthol magic actually brightens taste. It's refreshing all day through. You'll feel extra coolness in your throat all day long. Extra coolness no other cigarette can give you. And that's why right now is the time to come up, all the way up to cool. Get Kool Filter Kings or Kool without filter. Now, on with the game. The makers of Kool are happy to be playing such a big part in bringing you these games, and they especially hope that you're enjoying this one. As we move to the bottom half of the fifth inning, the Chicago Cubs send up the head of the batting order, Lou Brock, Kenny Hubbs, and Billy Williams. Lou Brock started the day with a batting average of 264. He has 6 home runs this season. He had a tremendous triple in the bottom half of the third and scored the only run that has been scored by the Chicago Cubs. As the score is tied here, the Mets won and the Cubs won. Roger Craig goes into the windup. The pitch to the left-hand batter. Swung on and missed for strike one. Tipped, actually, back into the big glove of Harry Cheedy. It is impossible to tell from the stands, or from the dugout for that matter, on many occasions when a ball is barely tipped back into the catcher's mitt, and so for that reason, the umpire gives a tip sign. Pitch comes inside, pops out of the big glove of Cheedy, and comes all the way back, so it's 1-1. Cliff Cook at third base, in on the edge of the grass against the left-hand batter, who has excellent speed. Here's a drive out of the left field. It's going to drop in for base hit. It's one hop down here by Frank Thomas. Fired back in. And Lou Brock opens up the bottom half of the fifth inning with a single and up for the Chicago Cubs. That brings up Kenny Hubbs. Struck out and tripled off the center field wall to drive in Lou Brock in the bottom half of the third. Hubbs has a batting average of 270. Has a throw to first base on Lou Brock. Roger Craig and Gil Hodges collaborated to pick off Ron Santo in the bottom half of the second. Has another throw, but not in time. Craig has an excellent move over there for a right-hand pitcher, and with Gil Hodges there, he's even more effective. These two men, of course, played together for many years and collaborate very well. Throw over, close play, but he's back safely. That brings a few ohs and ahs in the crowd. Lou Brock got a pretty good lead. Well, he shortens up this time. Doesn't take as long to lead. Now it's Craig upon the rubber. He lengthens out again. It's pitched to the plate. It's low for ball. 1-0.
Yesterday, head coach Ron Santo, head coach Charlie Metro had Ron Santo up in the leadoff position. As a throw over, it's not in time as Lou Brock gets back. Throw over. Close play. And him diving back in. Grabs the bag with his bare hand. Gil Hodges wastes no time at all in getting that ball on a runner. Once it's over there, he sweeps that big glove right down onto it. The count to Kenny Huff at the plate is one ball and no strikes. Brock leads it first. A leisurely throw over this time. Throw over and had him going. He's out at first base. They picked him off. Had him leaning the wrong way. And he picked him off at first base. Again, for the second time in this ballgame, Roger Craig and Gil Hodges have collaborated and they have picked Lou Brock off first base. Lou Klein is arguing the point with Ed Vargo, the umpire at first. But in the meantime, Lou Brock goes back across the infield, heading for the Cub dugout located back at third. A pickoff play effective for the second time today by Craig and Hodges. So there's one away, nobody on. Kenny Huff steps back into the batter's box now.
Pitch. Taken for a call strike.
1-1 is the count. The scoreboard count was swept clean, and so umpire Shag Crawford behind the plate looks at his indicator. Indicates 1-1, and it comes up on the scoreboard that way now. Curveball is cut on and fouled on. It's 1-2. The score is tied here. The New York Mets 1 and the Chicago Cubs 1, with the Cubs batting in the bottom half of the fifth inning. Pitch to Huff. Cut on and line. Not into left center field for a base hit. Joe Christopher over up with it. Relays it back in, and Kenny Huff turns and holds it first with his second base hit on this ballgame. He tripled in the third, he is single here, and now Billy Williams is coming up. He's single in the first inning, and he grounded it out. I just to Craig covering in the third inning. He's 1-2. Billy Williams, starting today, as the number two batter in the National League. He had a .344 batting average starting today, and is 1-2 in this game. Left-hand batter. Playing a ground ball. That is a fair ball. And Hodges steps on the bag at first and then tag and throws on to Chacon, who is tagging the runner at second for a double play. Gil Hodges fielded the ball right over the bag, stepped on the bag. That took off the force. He fired it on to Chacon, who had to tag the runner. Kenny Hubbs coming in for the double play. And so the side is retired in the bottom half of the fifth inning. The Chicago Cubs get no runs on one hit, no errors, and nobody left. And at the end of five full innings of play at Wrigley Field in Chicago, the score is the New York Mets 1 and the Chicago Cubs 1. The big glove of Gil Hodges playing an important part in this ballgame thus far. That was a ground ball smashed down the first base line. And it was taken by Hodges just behind the bag. He stepped on the bag. That took off the force, but then he fired onto Chacon at second in time to get him out of there. Well, what is the one thing most people associate with baseball? Well, I'll bet that if you ask, the answer you'd hear most often is an ice-cold glass of beer. And if those people happen to be New Yorkers, well, then that beer has just got to be Rheingold, New York's favorite. And what accounts for this popularity? Two words tell you. Extra dry. You see, dry beers are lighter, more naturally refreshing. They let more flavor through to you. And Rheingold is the extra dry beer. Extra dry to be extra refreshing. And after all, isn't that what you want in your beer? Sure it is. So why wait? Order up or pour yourself a glass of refreshing Rheingold and enjoy it along with this game. You'll join the millions of people everywhere who say, my beer is Rheingold, the dry beer. It's beer as beer should taste.
We go now to the top half of the sixth inning, and the New York Mets will send up Joe Christopher, Frank Thomas, and Gil Hodges. Christopher has single and walk. He's one for one in this ballgame, facing the left-hander Dick Ellsworth, who winds and fires. Slow curve goes high for ball one. In Milwaukee, the Pittsburgh Pirates got three runs in the top of the fourth. They now lead the Milwaukee Braves 5-0 at the end of 3.5 in the first game. It's Bob Friend pitching against Ron Fischer. Here's a swing and a miss by Christopher. It's 1-1. Still, Mazeroski has hit two home runs in that ballgame for the Pittsburgh Pirates. There's a pitch low to Christopher. It's 2-1. It's the Mets 1 and the Cubs 1 here at Wrigley Field. First game of a scheduled doubleheader. That's a pitch low. It's 3-1 now to Christopher. Manager Casey Stengel has Christopher batting number 3 in the batting order. In the three previous games of this series, the Mets have won 2 and lost 1. Swing a ground ball going to deep short. Taken by Gramas on the edge of the outfield grass. Long throw. Not in time. He saves the ball. Rolls away from Altman. Altman tried to dig up the low throw, and then it rolled on past him. Christopher hustled on down for the base hit, and it scored as a single for Christopher. His second of the day. It was taken deep in the hole by Gramas. He had 1 foot on the edge of the outfield grass when he made the throw. So that will bring up Frank Thomas. Thomas has been up twice without a hit in this ballgame. Left-hander Dick Ellsworth in a stretch. Staring over that Christopher, here's the pitch. Slow curve is in there for a call. Strike two to Frank Thomas. George Altman, the first baseman, holding against the runner Christopher at first base. With two strikes on Thomas, Ron Santo now goes back to play a deep third base, and he's moved over near the line. He had been in anticipation of the possibility of sacrifice attempt here in the sixth inning with a score tied 1-1. And now with two strikes on Thomas, he's playing a deep third base. Gamas is pulled over in the hole. And now Ellsworth walks off the rubber, goes back behind the mound, takes off his glove and rubs up the ball. Lou Brock in center is pulled way over in left field. And the left fielder, Billy Williams, pulled over near the line. Pitches inside to Thomas. It's 1-2. And the right fielder, Don Landrum, is moved way over towards center. So that there is a tremendous space out in right field. One ball and two strikes. Frank Thomas. The ball comes in low, and it's 2-2. Gil Hodges is kneeling in the on deck circle for the Mets. Two pitch. He tried to check it, but umpire Shaq Crawford said he butted around for the strikeout. So Thomas is not swinging. Christopher holding it first, and Gil Hodges is coming up. Hodges has singled and popped out. He's 1-for-2 in this ballgame. And they do not change the defensive alignment in the outfield on Hodges. They play him exactly the same way they played Thomas. Here's a ground ball, a little number that is a foul ball, fielded by catcher L. Tappy. 2 feet down to third baseline, but umpire Shag Crawford hustling out there says foul ball. And that'll bring Christopher back to the bag at first, and it brings Gil Hodges back to the plate for the count of one strike. In the American League, at the end of 5 innings of play, the Baltimore Orioles lead the New York Yankees by a score of 2-0.
He's running in the check swing foul ball. Christopher, going on the pitch, and Hodges checked it and fouled it off. Two strike count now to Hodges. And that's one of the Cubs one. Top half of the sixth inning, first game of a scheduled doubleheader at Wrigley Field in Chicago. Throw over, and Christopher gets back safely. Pitch to Hodges. Cut on and miss. Strike three. Hodges dropping the bat out of his hands as he came on around. That's the third strikeout for Ellsworth. He has struck out Thomas and Hodges consecutively here at the top of the sixth. And Cliff Cook's coming up. Glad to right and grounded out short to first. Cook, a big right hand batter. Left-hander Dick Ellsworth into a stretch position. Pitch to Cook is outside for ball one. Jim Hickman is now swinging a bat in the on-deck circle. Hickman has singled and doubled in today's ballgame. Ball rolled a few feet away from Ellsworth. He has to come down off the mound to retrieve it. Now goes to the Rosen back to buy off his fingertips. Pitch to Cliff Cook, swung on, and as the drive going out into right field, it's going to drop in for a base hit. Cook's on his way to third. Ball is safe fielded now by Lou Brock in left center. Christopher comes way around, and he is held up, and the ball was dropped by Kenny Hubb. At second, he would have had a good shot at Christopher, who took a wide turn and then was held up by Solly Hemus, but he was far off the bag, and as Kenny Hubb took the relay and prepared to fire it onto Ron Sando at third, he dropped the ball. Runners at first and third with two men out. It is a base hit, of course, for Cliff Cook out in the right center field. And that brings up Jim Hookman. Christopher turns second, of course, flying. Ball did not get much of a roll in the wet outfield grass, and Lou Brock was the first man to it out there, picked it up, and Christopher took the turn at third and kept coming on, right on coming until Solly Hemus, the coach, who had come way down the line, gave him the stop sign, and he was so far around that they might have had a play on him, except for the fact that Kenny Hubb dropped the relay throw. Now, here is Jim Hickman at the plate, waiting for the pitch. Low curve is hit on the ground. Foul. It's fielded by Solly Hemus in the coach's box at third. Some of the finest fielding plays of this series have been made by Hemus right there. Strike one count. Hickman's looking down to Solly to get a sign. Now, Hickman singled in the second inning, and he doubled in the top half of the fourth inning. Right now, the Mets have runners at first and third in a ballgame that's tied 1-1. Two men out. Left-hander Dick Ellsworth, the starter, still in the ballgame for the Chicago Cubs. That pitch goes high for a ball. Jim Hickman is batting number 7 in the batting order for managing Casey Singles Mets. On his lead at first and third. Ellsworth with the pitch. Slow curve, check swing, foul ball into the stands, and the lower box is out of play. That's one ball and two strikes now to Jim Hickman. Matt Piper comes out with a fresh supply of baseballs for Chad Crawford, and right now, in order to allow our stations to identify themselves, we pause now for station identification.
This is WGY Schenectady.
This is Lindsey Nelson with Bob Murphy and Ralph Kiner, and here's the pitch that's coming in low and inside to Jim Hickman. The count to him 2-2. The Mets making a bid here in the top half of the sixth inning. Scheduled pitchers for the second game, Ray Daniel from the New York Mets and Bob Anderson for the Chicago Cubs. Daniel recently recalled from Syracuse.
He was on the Mets roster at the start of the season.
Here's a 2-2 pitch. Curveball, cut on, and full foul. Stan in the front row of the box seats mocked his opportunity for a souvenir. The ball dropped back onto the playing field, and Coach Lou Fine comes out of the dugout. He sees the ball and fires it over to the ball boy, who in turn gives it on to Pat Piper, the keeper of the baseballs. For lo, these many years, you're at Wrigley Field in Chicago. Again, Ellsworth is set for a 2-2 pitch. It is low inside, gets away from catcher Elsworth, and Christopher's coming home with a run. He makes it. Low and inside, the ball got away from Tappy. And Christopher scored the run. And the Mets now lead by a score 2-1. No decision yet from the official scorer. It is scored as a wild pitch now. Scored as a wild pitch, charged against Dick Ellsworth. Cliff Cook moved on to second, of course, on the play, as Christopher dashed home from third. The count is out full now to Hickman, 3-2. And the Mets lead in the ballgame by a score of 2-1. And we'll have a payoff pitch to Hickman, with Cliff Cook having moved into scoring position to second base now. Ellsworth into the stretch. 3-2 pitch, cut on, and has a fly ball that is down back at first. Altman may have a play. He's over near the dugout. He one-handed. Ball's against the wall, but he's out. Altman, over near the corner of the dugout, one-handed the ball and is fell against the brick wall. And on down, sliding down the wall through the ground, but he made the catch, and Hickman is fouled out. So Altman back in the bag at first, in the corner of the dugout, and in the top half of the sixth inning, the Mets got one run on two hits, no errors and one left, and at the end of 5.5 innings of play at Wrigley Field in Chicago, the score is the New York Mets 2 and the Chicago Cubs 1. Well, here we are, about one-third of the way through the first great year of the return of National League Baseball to New York, and we think this time it's here to stay. You know, New Yorkers are great people, great sports fans, and they've proven that in their support of the New York Mets. They deserve a National League team. And Ryan Gohl is proud to be able to help make that possible by bringing you these play-by-play broadcasts. We'd like to wish that the Mets make as many friends in New York as Ryan Gohl has over the years. You know, year after year, Ryan Gohl has more fans in New York than any other beer. And the reason is simple enough. Ryan Gohl is the dry beer, and that means a big difference in taste. Dry tells you that Ryan Gohl is brewed the long, slow, costly way to taste brisk and bright and clean clear through. Why don't you enjoy a cold glass of Ryan Gohl right now, along with this game, and join the millions who say, my beer is Ryan Gohl, the dry beer. As we go at the bottom half of the sixth inning, George Altman, who just made the fine catch of the foul pop over by the Mets dugout, is up to lead off for the Chicago Cubs. Altman is batting the cleanup spot, and he gets a hand here from the Cubs faithful at Wrigley Field. Altman is nothing to sue in today's ballgame. He was on the National League All-Star squad last year. He had a pinch homer, as a matter of fact, in the first All-Star game, played in San Francisco. Roger Craig with a pitch, and it swung on a miss to strike one. Altman's a big left-hand bat. Swings and misses. Strike two. High fastball. Here's a swing and a miss. Craig struck him out. Strikeout number three for Roger, and there's one away for the Cubs, nobody on, and Ron Santo is coming up. He's 1-2. Santo's batting number 5 in the batting order. Santo's a right-hand batter, Roger Craig, with the pitch. It's high for ball one. Don Landrum has now moved into the on-deck position for the Cubs. Pitch is low and away to Santo. It's 2-0, and he looks down to head coach Charlie Metro at third. Get a sign, see whether he's free to hit away, whether he's taking on 2-0. The game in which the Mets lead the Cubs by a score 2-1. Bottom half, sixth inning.
It's low. Ball three. Out 3-0 now to Santo. Manager Casey Stengel up and moving around in the dugout of the New York Mets. Greg looking in now has signed for the 3-0 pitch. Yes, and for a call, strike one. 3-1. Swing and a foul ball coming back. So the count is 3-2 now. Out full to Ron Santo with one man out and nobody on base. Playing a ground ball taken by Cliff Cook on a high hop at 30. Sidearms it on over to Gil Hodges at first in time for the out. So Santo, the high bounding ground ball to third, has grounded out two away, nobody on, and Don Landers coming up. He's 1-for-2. Here's a swing and a ground ball going back through the middle and all the way through for a base hit. With it is Christopher, fires it back in, and Landrum turns and holds it first with his second base into the net. That one smashed right back through the box. Roger Craig waved at it on the way through. Two men out, and Elvin's happy, the catcher, coming up. Landrum takes the lead at first. Started to shorten up as Craig just sort of bluffed to toss over before he ever got up on the rubber. Now he does throw over. Not in time. He's back safely. Twice in this ball game, Craig has picked runners off first base. Gil Hodges over there holding against the runner. Here's a leisurely throw over. Landrum gets back safely. Sandy has walked and hit into a force play. Jim Hickman being moved in a little in right field. Charlie Hemus relaying the sign there from the dugout. Here's a throw over. And this one brought Gil Hodges off the bag. That Gil's still favoring that leg. He's been hobbled on quite a stretch. Had he come off the bag to make the catch of the throw over that time. Still no count to Elvin Tappy at the plate with 2 men out. It's to the plate swung on. That's a ground ball. Taking a shortstop by Chacon, throws on the run, and Gil Hodges takes it out of the dirt in time. A low throw into the dirt, but Gil Hodges had the big glove down there to dig it out. Tappy has ground it out in the bottom half of the sixth inning. The Cubs get no runs on one hit, no errors, and one left. The end of 6 innings of play at Wrigley Field in Chicago. The score is the New York Mets 2, the Chicago Cubs 1. And coming in here now to bring you up to date on all the proceedings is Bob Murphy.
Thank you very much, Lindsay. Gil Hodges turning in another spectacular day with that mitt around first base as he teams with Roger Craig, and they are doing quite a job on the Chicago Cubs base runners. In other games, here are the warm-ups for the first game in Houston. Don Drysdale against the Colt 45's Jim Golden. Bill Mazeroski has driven in all 5 runs, Pittsburgh leading Milwaukee 5-2 after 4.5. Willie in relief against Ron Fache. At the end of 3.5, the Giants and Cardinals tied 3-3. Billy O'Dell against Larry Jackson. The game held up by rain in Cincinnati after 3, with the Reds leading the Phillies by a score of 4-1. Wes Covington has hit 2 home runs in that game, the second coming in the fourth with a man on to make it 4-3 Cincinnati, but they're waiting with rain right now. After 5.5 at Yankee Stadium, the Orioles 2, Yankees nothing. Pappas against Terry. Home runs by Herzog and Snyder. Kansas City and the Angels play 2 on the West Coast at Dodger Stadium. At the end of 6 in the first game, Minnesota leading the Chicago White Sox 6-1. Jim Cott for the Twins. Fisher replaced Horlin. Mincher and Rollins of Homer. They're in the last of the 7th inning at Fenway Park in the opener with the Red Sox leading Cleveland 2-1. Home runs by Yastrzemski and Woody Held. Mon Bouquet for the Red Sox. Allen replaced Grant in the 7th. Washington beat Detroit 2-1 in the opener on a 5-hitter by Don Rudolph. Phil Regan, the loser. Hicks and Burrows hit homers. Second game just underway. Bunting against Daniels. tied up 1-1 with Washington batting in the last half of the first inning. Now, Harry Chidi up against lefty Dick Ellsworth, and the pitch is in there. Strike one called. Harry 0-for-2 has flied to left and grounded out third to first. Bounced foul. That ball hit him in the right leg and carried him away. And the count strike two. Nobody on, nobody out. We're in the seventh inning. Big curve is whacked high in the air. A fly ball to center field. Running out goes Grammas, and it might drop. Great catch by Alex Grammas. Beautiful play by Alex Grammas. Just when it appeared that fly ball was dropped in shallow center field, that it was going to be out of the reach of Lou Brock, the center fielder, coming in, Grammas kept closing ground on it. And at the last moment, he caught the ball over his shoulder with his glove hand extended at full length, running at full speed. One away, nobody on. That brings up Roger Craig. Roger has been up twice, 0-for-2. Hit into a force play started by the shortstop and been thrown out by the shortstop. One away, nobody on. Top of the seventh inning, the Mets in front, 2-1. Ellsworth with the pitch. Fastball over, strike one call. Now the pitch on the way to Roger Craig. Breaking ball in there, strike two call. Elio Chacon at the top of the batting order will be hitting next. New York 2 runs on 7 hits. The Chicago Cubs 1 run on 8 base hits. Outside and high, 1-2 to Roger Craig. Craig has helped himself greatly in this ball game by picking Ron Sanilaw first and then picking Lou Brock off first. 1-2 delivery, a line drive to left center field. It's going to be in for a base hit. So Roger Craig, behind on the count, 1-2, gets a base hit to left center field. Tomorrow night in Houston, Al Jackson pitches for the New York Mets, and he'll be opposed by Turk Farrell. Farrell, one of the hardest scoring right-handers in baseball. Farrell beat the New York Mets 3-2 in Houston in the last series, edging Jay Hook in a whale of a mound duel. Here's the pitch on the way. Chacon whacks it foul down to the right. No play. Roger Craig on first. 1 down. We're in the top of the seventh inning. Next pitch by Ellsworth drives Elio back from the plate. 1-1. Elio, hitless and 3 times up, is flied to right, lined out to the pitcher, and grounded out third to first. Little Elio had 4-for-6 yesterday to hike his average to .275. The 1-1 pitch, curve way outside. That one really got away from Dick Ellsworth. 2-1. Four single night games in Houston. Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, and Thursday night. Then next Friday night, the Mets are in the Polo Grounds against the Chicago Cubs. Ellsworth, the tall left-hander, checks the runner. There goes Craig, the pitcher on the ground, down to third. Sano fires the second force play on to first. Double play. So despite the fact that Craig was running, trying to break up a double play, the Cubs get it because Sano, the third baseman, was in close against Elio Chacon. Elio hit a hard grounder right down to him, and he fired across the second to start the double play. Tied out in the seventh inning with no runs, 1 hit, no errors, none left on. At the end of 6.5 innings, the score, the New York Mets 2 and the Chicago Cubs 1. Seventh inning stretch again, so the folks here in Chicago are getting up the stretch. Ralph, I thought we know what the folks back in New York are doing.
Well, they're doing the same thing. They're actually stretching out for glasses of wine and going extra dry, though.
True enough. When it comes to the seventh inning or any inning, More fans stretch out for Rheingold than any other beer.
Well, that's because it's New York's favorite beer.
You know, it's easy to see why. In fact, dry tells you why. Yes, sir, extra dry tells you why Rheingold is beer as beer should taste. Brisk and bright and clean, clear through. Rheingold is brewed of the choicest ingredients, brewed the long, slow, costlier way. And that's what makes Rheingold Extra Dry such a wonderful beer. Wonderful because it's so much more refreshing. And more refreshing because it's extra dry. Right, Ralph?
That's right, Bob. So folks, why not enjoy a fine cold glass of Rheingold along with our baseball game here in Chicago? Join the millions who say, my beer is Rheingold, the dry beer.
Now the Cubs will have Alex Grammas facing Roger Craig in the last half of the seventh inning. Sun-drenched crowd right now, and it is a mighty welcome drenching in contrast with the drenching they received yesterday with a hard downpour. Grammas one hit and two times up. He singled a left, and he hit a fly ball that put Thomas back on the warning path in the fourth inning. He has to hit the dirt inside the high. It's ball one. Mets lead, 2-1. Bottom half of the seventh inning. Cubs fans now starting to stir around. Craig wagging that glove with Harry Chidi. Now winds and pitches. Breaking ball outside. Two balls and no strikes. Dick Ellsworth, the pitcher, will be up next. He's out beyond deck circle swinging that bat. Right in there for a call strike, 2-1. Alex Grammas, a slick fielder, 8-year veteran in the National League with Cincinnati and St. Louis. Shortstop has been a problem for the Chicago Cubs, and they hope that they have found the answer in veteran Alex Grammas. Two balls and a strike on Alex Grammas. In comes the pitch by Craig, ball three, inside and low. Each pitcher has given up one walk. Cubs tallied their run in the third inning on back-to-back triples by Lou Brock and Kenny Hubbs. Strike two called. It caught the outside corner. Grammas loving that strand to it first. Run back by Jack Crawford, and the count is full at 3-2. Craig turned in his finest pitching in the third inning after the back-to-back triples by Brock and Hubbs. Hubbs on third and nobody out. He got the heart of the batting order and left him stranded. The ball is popped up outside first in foul ground. Gil Hodges is over there under it. And Gil takes it for the out. You tell the way Gil is playing that knee is causing him quite a bit of pain. So Roger Craig behind 3-1 on Alex Grammas comes back to get him on a harmless pop foul. One out and nobody on. Here's Dick Ellsworth. Ellsworth has grounded out short to first and been struck out. He's 0 for 2. Strike one call. They're in the last of the seventh at Yankee Stadium now. The Orioles leading 2-0. Strike two, an off-speed delivery by Roger Craig as he pitches away from Dick Ellsworth. Doubleheader is underway down in Texas now. Dodgers nothing. Colt 45 nothing at the end of one. Breaking ball just missed the inside corner. One ball and two strikes on Dick Ellsworth. Mets scored their first run today on a home run by Charlie Neal in the opening inning. A line drive into the wind over the left field wall. Swing and a miss. He struck him out. Roger Craig batting Ellsworth for the second time. Tall Roger now has struck out four in the game, and that brings up Lou Brock. Brock two for three, including a triple in the third inning. He came in to score on the triple by Kenny Hubbs. Pitch by Craig up high. He lays off of it. One ball and no strikes. Yankee Lou Brock with 2-for-3, batting at 268. Change up, foul ball, hit back toward the crowd. This will be out of play. Brock trying to wait on that changeup by Roger Craig, but he fouled it off. They go along to the eighth inning now at Yankee Stadium. The Orioles behind Milt Pappas, leading the New York Yankees and Ralph Turry by a score of 2-0. Brock leans in and takes it, gets the outside corner, a call strike of beauty. 1-2 on Lou Brock. Now Craig double pumps. Up goes the leg. Down comes the arm. Ground ball stabbed by Roger Craig. He reached over his head to take it. Throws to Gil Hodges in plenty of time, and the side is out. A strong inning for Roger Craig as the Cubs fail to get the ball out of the infield. No runs, no hits, no errors, none left on. And now at the end of seven, the score here at Wrigley Field, it's the Mets 2 and the Chicago Cubs 1.
May I have your attention, please?
So we're going along to the eighth inning now, the opener of this Twin Bill with the Mets leading by a score of 2-1. Gil Hodges turning in some great fielding plays around first base in the opener of this doubleheader as he teams with Roger Craig. They have picked off two Chicago Cup base runners. Ralph, no one will get more of a nostalgic feeling out of the old-timers game on July 14th at the Polo Grounds than Gil Hodges.
Well, I'm sure of that. Of course, Gil was in that ball game in 1951. I understand Jackie Robinson's going to play, and they have quite a few of the big participators coming up.
Yes, Jackie Robinson and Jim Hearn have turned in their acceptances to President George M. Weiss to go along with Bobby Thompson and Ralph Branca. It's going to be a big summer for Jackie with that old-timers game, and then right after the old-timers game, he and Bobby Feller go up to Cooperstown.
Speaking of Jim Hearn, he won the first game, didn't he?
He sure did. He pitched, I believe, a 5-hit ball game and winning.
3-1, I think the score was.
And, of course, the winning pitcher in that dramatic game was Larry Jansen, who came on to pitch the last inning. That's July the 14th. The Mets playing the Dodgers. The old-timers game at the Polo Grounds. The old-timers will be reliving the dramatic playoff game and playing a 2-inning ball game. Hope you're planning to be on hand. Charlie Neal up, and a foul ball hit back to the screen, strike one. In comes the pitch, and Neal pops the ball up to short right field. It could be trouble. Coming in now is the right fielder Landrum, and he makes the catch in shallow right. The second All-Star game this season will be played right here at Wrigley Field. The first All-Star game will be played in that beautiful new stadium in Washington, D.C. Ralph, one of the highlights of your career must have been the All-Star game home run here in Chicago.
Yes, certainly. That was in Comiskey Park. We tied it up with that home run the ninth inning. And Shady hit a home run in the 14th and won it. That was one of the greatest games I've ever seen. There were plays made in that game that I don't know how you could ever duplicate it. Incidentally, Ted Williams had one in that game.
One ball, no strikes to Joe Christopher. Well, undoubtedly, the greatest home run for Ted Williams in All-Star game competition was the one he hit at Detroit in 1940 to win a game. That's the one he also broke his elbow, isn't it, Ralph?
Yes, he broke it catching my ball.
Fly ball into center field. Brock drifting over, makes the catch, and there are two away. Well, Williams was perplexed throughout his career with a series of crippling injuries, injuries that to a lesser athlete might have sent him to the sidelines permanently, but he just kept making comeback after comeback. Here on the eighth inning, two outs and nobody on. The batter now is Frank Thomas. Changeup, swung and missed, it's strike one. Beautiful off-speed breaking ball thrown by Dick Ellsworth. He's gone to that slow breaking pitch a great deal more in the second half of the ballgame, and it's been a very effective pitch for him. Inside and low, one ball, one strike. Well, next Sunday, the Mets will be in the Polo Grounds playing a doubleheader against the Chicago Cubs. Next Sunday will be Father's Day. Inside is ball two. So, Mom, why not treat Dad to a big doubleheader at the Polo Grounds on his day, next Sunday, June 17th. Cubs with the defense way around the left against Frank Thomas. Dick Ellsworth winds and pitches. Ground ball sounded like he broke his bat. Hits the short. Up for the ball. Grammis, the peg in the dirt. He is out on first base on a close play as George Altman dicks the throw out of the dirt. Ball fielded deep in the hole, but Grammis was playing over there against Frank Thomas. That's the second time today that the Thomas defensive shift has taken a base hit away from him. No runs, no hits, no errors, none left on. And now at the end of seven and a half innings, the score here at Wrigley Field is the Mets 2 and the Chicago Cubs 1. Say, here's an idea for a great gift for Father's Day next Sunday, June 17th. Give Miles or Walter Raleigh pipe tobacco. And incidentally, if you are a pipe-smoking dad, I suggest you drop a gentle hint for someone to give you Sir Walter Raleigh. You know, it's the brand of grand aroma, and one pipe full will tell you why. Sir Walter Raleigh smells grand. That's right. Smokes sweet and can't bite. Sir Walter Raleigh's good natural flavor comes from a special blend of choice Kentucky burley tobaccos. Extra aged to their peak of mildness. And for Father's Day, you can get Sir Walter Raleigh in an attractive gift pack canister, complete with a special greeting to Dad on his day. So for Father's Day, let Dad relax in a man's world with Sir Walter Raleigh. Light up and enjoy today's game with the quality pipe tobacco, Sir Walter Raleigh. Ground ball hits a short by Kenny Hubbs. Chacone is up. Here's the peg. They have him by two running strides. Kenny Hubbs going after the first pitch, and he's thrown out by Elio Chacone. One away, nobody on. The last of the eighth inning. The batter now is Billy Williams. Williams, one hit in three times. Up. That was a Texas League hit in the first inning. Sophomore outfielder hitting at 343. Dub fans stirring around now. This mound duel in the eighth. Outside and low, one ball and no strike. Next pitch back, Greg. Inside and low, a ball two, 2-0. Roger Craig up against the real big hitters in that Cup batting order here in the last of the eighth inning. Billy Williams hitting third, then George Altman batting fourth, and Ron Sano hitting fifth. Charlie Metro, of course, has Ernie Banks available to pinch hit. Ball three, Roger behind, 3-0. Williams with George Altman on deck. Pitching 3-0. He swings a ground ball to second. Charlie Neal is up with it. Charlie throws to Hatches, two men down. So with Billy Williams, who has a lot of power and can hit home runs up there, Metro let him hit on 3-0. He hit a hard ground ball right at Charlie Neal. Craig was in a position where he could ill afford to walk Billy Williams. He had to be in there on 3-0, and he had to have enough on it. Two outs and nobody on. George Altman batting. He's 0-3. Ball one, just off the outside corner. One of the real highlights of this game was a double play started by Gil Hodges in the fifth inning. And, of course, on the double play, turned by the Mets and started by Gil, 1,000 cool cigarettes go to the Veterans Hospital in Northampton, Massachusetts, and also apply toward their quota, 1,000 cool cigarettes on the home run hit by Charlie Neal back in the first inning. One ball and no strikes on George Altman. Two outs and nobody on. Last of the eighth. Wind up pitch by Craig. A ground ball to second base. Neal to his left. Gloves it on the run. Throws to Hodges. The side is out. Strong inning for Roger Craig. He has them beating that ball into the dirt. No runs, no hits, no errors, none left on. And now at the end of eight, the score. The New York Mets 2 and the Chicago Cubs 1. Now let's check the scores of the other doubleheaders throughout the major leagues this afternoon. In Houston, at the end of two, Dodgers nothing, Colt 45 nothing, Drysdale against Golden. Six innings complete in Milwaukee. The Pirates lead the Braves 7-2 in the opener. Mazeroski's hit two home runs. At the end of five innings at St. Louis, the Giants and the Cardinals tied up 3-3. Billy O'Dell against Larry Jackson. They're delayed by rain in the top of the fourth inning in Cincinnati, with the Reds leading the Phillies 4-3. They've been out by rain for quite a while. In the American League, they're in the eighth inning. Baltimore 2 and the Yankees nothing. Doughton replaced Terry. Pappas for the Birds. Home runs by Herzog and Snyder. The Kansas City A's and Los Angeles Angels play 2 at Dodger Stadium on the West Coast. They're in the last of the eighth inning now in Minneapolis, St. Paul, with the Minnesota Twins out in front by a score of 6-4. Landis hit a three-run homer in the top of the eighth inning. At the end of eight at Fenway Park, the Cleveland Indians have come from behind and tied the Red Sox 3-3. So they go into the ninth inning all tied up. In the first game at Washington, the Senators beat the Tigers 2-1 on a five-hitter by Don Rudolph. One inning complete in the second game. The game tied 1-1. Jim Bunning against Benny Daniels. Right here, it's the ninth inning with Gil Hodges leading off against left-hander Dick Ellsworth. Gil has one hit and three times up. Gil hitting at 3-16. Mets hoping they can pick up an insurance tally for Roger Craig to work with. And the slow-breaking ball is outside, ball one. Line drive to left field. That's a base hit. Hard line drive toward the alley. Gill takes the turn and holds on at first base. So Hodges has his second hit of the game. Right here, a quick pause for station identification.
You are tuned to WGY Schenectady, your New York Mets station.
Now the hitter is Cliff Cook. And Cliff hits a high fly ball to left field. Billy Williams drifting toward the line. He has room. He's under it. Makes the catch, one man down. One away now, the top of the ninth inning, and up the hit will be Jim Hickman. Jim has 2-for-3. His last time up, he hit a foul ball right over in the Mets dugout, and George Altman, playing first base, made a real good play, glove-handed the ball off balance, and fell against the concrete wall at the side of the dugout, but he held on to it. Hickman 2-for-3, batting at 271. 2-1 ball game, Mets leading. We're in the top of the ninth inning. In the last of the ninth, the Cubs will have Sano, Landrum, and Taffy scheduled up. Now the pitch. Off-speed delivery high. One ball and no strikes. Charlie Metro has given the sign to Don Elston to start warming up. Pitch to Hickman. Ground ball hammered, fouled on the third baseline. No play. One ball, one strike. Ray Davio makes his first major league start in the nightcap of this doubleheader. And making his first start of the season will be relief specialist Bob Anderson for the Chicago Cubs. Mets playing their third doubleheader in 5 days. Breaking ball a little bit high. Two balls and a strike. Ellsworth has had two pitching patterns in this game. In the first half of the game, he went with his fastball. And in the second half of the game, he has been throwing that slow curve a great deal. Hodges on first, one down. A ground ball hit slowly down the third baseline. Picked up by Ellsworth. He fumbles it. Everybody is safe. He had a tough chance on his hand. And it'll be a base hit for Jim Hickman, his third of the game, a swinging bunt. He took a big swing and just topped a slow bouncer down the third baseline. Ellsworth, running hard toward the line, got his glove on it but couldn't hold it. He was trying to glove it, whirl, and throw all at the same time. He knew he really had to hurry to get Hickman, who can run. And it's a base hit. So Jim Hickman has 3-for-4 in the game, and Harry Cheedy comes up. They go into the ninth inning now at Yankee Stadium with the Orioles leading the Yankees 2-0 behind Milt Pappas. We have a corrected score on the Dodger-Houston game. Bob Aspromonte hit a two-run homer off Don Drysdale in the last of the second, and the Colt 45s lead the Dodgers 2-0 at the end of two innings. Harry Jeudy coming up to hit. Gramas comes in from short to talk to Dick Ellsworth. The base hit by Jim Hickman, the ninth in the ballgame for the New York Mets. Each team has nine hits. The Mets in front, 2-1. Jeudy hits a high fly ball to left center field. It is deep. Back is Lou Brock near the wall. He's under it, and he makes the catch right up against the wall in left center.
Harry Jeudy in a strong bid for a home run.
The ballpark had just exactly the right dimensions to hold that one, with Brock putting his back right up against the vines in left center field to take it. Now there are two away, and Craig gets a hand as he comes up to hit. Roger, batting for the fourth time, got a base hit to left center in the seventh inning. One hit and three times up. He'd love to get one now to provide himself with an extra run to work with in the last half of the ninth inning. Gil Hodges on second, Jim Hickman on first. Breaking ball inside, one ball and no strikes to Roger Craig. Dick Ellsworth, the 22-year-old southpaw from Fresno, California, checks the runners. Around comes the left arm, curve inside and low down around the shoe tops. Two balls and no strikes. The Mets manufactured the go-ahead run in this ballgame in the sixth inning. Joe Christopher beat out an infield hit to short. With two men down, Casey put on a hit-and-run play, and rookie Cliff Cook made it work with a line drive into right center. Christopher raced to third, and then Christopher came in with a tie-breaking run when Dick Ellsworth uncorked a wild pitch on a curveball. The 2-0 delivery. Low, it's ball three. Now Ellsworth is behind on Roger Craig, 3-0. Little Elio Chacon crouched on deck, hoping that Roger can get on base for him.
Time taken by third stacker Ron Santo for a brief visit to the mound.
Ellsworth's control has been excellent. Like Roger Craig, he's walked only one man. Pitching 3-0. He pumps it right in there. Craig taking all away. Three balls and a strike.
Roger turning sideways now to be sure that he reads Salahimas correctly. Two to one ball game. Mets in front. We're in the top of the ninth. Ellsworth ready. The 3-1 pitch.
Ball four. The bases are loaded.
Now the bases are loaded with two down.
And as Elio Chacon starts toward the batter's box, Charlie Metro is moving toward the mound. He has Don Elston warmed up in the bullpen. Bases loaded, 2 men away. The walk to Roger Craig moves Gil Hodges over to third. Jim Hickman to second, and Craig goes down to first. No sign given as yet by Charlie Metro, and now he does point toward the bullpen, and Don Elston will be brought in. So Dick Ellsworth, who has pitched a strong ball game, will leave the game here at the ninth inning with 2 men down. A tall left-hander pitching 8 2/3 innings. At the moment, he has given up 2 runs, 9 hits. Walked only 2 men and struck out 3.
Now Charlie Metro calling on his top fireman, veteran right-hander Don Elston.
Elston, not an old pitcher by any means, but a veteran from a standpoint of experience, to have this for Dick Ellsworth.
Well, if I were you, I sure know what I'd be doing right now. I'd be pouring myself a tall, frosty glass of Rheingold Extra Dry.
Rheingold is beer as beer should taste, and dry tells you why. Folks enjoy it along with the ball game. Speaking of enjoying the ball games of the New York Mets, we're sure you'll enjoy them even more if you have with you, whether you're following the game by radio and TV when the Mets are away or at the Polo Grounds in New York. You'll enjoy the games even more if you have alongside the 1962 New York Mets yearbook. Pictures and biographical sketches of Casey, the coaches, and all the players, and many interesting facts about the ball club. They're on sale at the Polo Grounds when the Mets are at home. You also may obtain them for your convenience by mail simply by sending 50 cents to Mets Yearbook, the Polo Grounds, New York 39. Elio Chacon is being called back. And Sammy Taylor is coming up to hit for him. Casey wants to go with the percentages here to get a left-hand hitter up against Don Elston, a right-hander. Taylor has been hitting the ball real hard on his road trip. He's hit a lot of fly balls deep that have been caught. He's also stung some line drives. He started really getting his eye on the ball and getting in that good groove in the two games in Philadelphia on Wednesday night. Well, Sammy Taylor, a former Cub, is batting for Elio Chacon. Billy Spantilla goes down to the bullpen to warm up so he can come in the game in the last of the ninth inning. Gil Hatch is on third, Jim Hickman on second, Roger Craig on first, 2 minutes away. Don Elston is on in relief now for the Cubs in a 2-1 ball game. Mets in front, top of the ninth. Sammy Taylor, bending from the waist, swishing that bat through, waiting. The windup and pitch by Elston. Bounced foul. The ball came up and hit him in the leg. Big spot in the game right here for both clubs. Mets trying to widen the gap. The base is loaded, two men down. Don Elston making his 22nd appearance of the year. Elston has won two and lost two. He has the best ERA of all Chicago Cup pitchers. In comes the pitch. Ground ball stroke to the right of the second baseman. He's over. Hubs is up with it. Throws in time. The side is out. Kenny Hubs had to go off to his right to field the grounder. And he threw the first in time. No runs, two hits. No errors. Three left on in the top of the ninth inning. And so at the end of eight and a half innings, the score, the New York Mets 2 and the Chicago Cubs 1.
Listen now. While Camarada and his strings paint us a musical portrait of New York's favorite beer. From the bottom of your glass right up to its fabulous frothy head, Rheingold Extra Dry is the very picture of pleasure. Brisk and bright. Wonderfully refreshing. Brimming with clean, dry flavor all the way through. Rheingold is beer as beer should taste. Dry tells you why. Can't you picture yourself with a fine, cold Rheingold right about now?
Now, here we go. The last of the ninth inning. Felix Mantilla now playing short after Sammy Taylor batted for Elio Chacon. Leading off against Roger Craig will be Ron Sano, the third baseman, batting fifth in the order. Sano has one hit and three times up. Cliff Cook moving over toward the mound to get together with Roger Craig on something. Don Landrum is the on-deck batter, and then Elvin Happy. Mets leading 2-1. Down in the Cub bullpen, Mo Thacker is warming up knuckleballer Barney Schultz.
Now, Craig looking in to get his sign. The crowd here at Wrigley Field really clamoring now. The pitch. Ball one. Kim McKenzie and Craig Anderson loosening up for the New York Mets. This is a tense one. Last of the ninth inning. Roger Craig winds and pitches. A foul ball whacked back upstairs. This will be out of play. And the count, one ball, one strike. Ron Santo, right-hand hitter with good power, switching the bat through, and now Coxon. Strike, two called, a breaking ball with the letters. And it's 1-2 on Santo. Last half of the ninth, Mets 2 and the Chicago Cubs 1. Roger and nods in agreement, cranks up, the pitch thrown, a foul ball hit back toward the crowd, it's out of play. Been some real key points in this ball game. Not once but twice in the game, Roger Craig picked off a Cub base runner at first. We got Ron Santo in the second and Lou Brock in the fifth inning. Gil Hodge has started a spectacular double play also in the fifth. In comes the pitch. Inside and low, 2-2 on Ron Santo. Charlie Metro has Ernie Banks available for pinch hitting. He merely wanted to give Banks a rest in the opener of this doubleheader. So he played Landrum and Ryan and moved off into first base. The count is 2-2 on Fano. Here's Craig Winding. Now the pitch. Way outside. Backhanded by Harry Cheedy. And the count goes full now, 3-2. That's had a threat in their half of the ninth inning. Now the Cubs are trying to fight back in the home half of the ninth inning. Charlie Metro running his club off the lines at third, and Luke Lyon is the first base coach. Christopher deep and around the left center against Fano with good power. Pitching 3-2. Ball four, it's outside. That is only the second walk given up in the game by Roger, but it's puts the pressure on him now with a leadoff runner on base. Nobody out, and he is the tying run. Don Landrum, a fast man and a tough man to double up, is being called back. Not being called back to the dugout, but merely called over to go into a conference with Charlie Metro. Gil Hodges and Harry Cheedy are out on the mound now talking to Roger Craig. Now, how will the Cubs play it? Will they try to bunt him over? Oh, Charlie Metro. Have Don Landrum swing away. Landrum is a left-hand hitter, a fast man, and a hard man to double up. Landrum 2-3. Both hits have been singles. Mets with a one-run lead, 2-1, last half of the ninth inning. Ken McKenzie and Craig Anderson both lining up in the bullpen. Now Craig up in pitching position. Roger makes the stop. Throws to first, not in time. While Gil was out on the mound, he put that pickoff play on. He faced the slow coming up the line looking for a bunt. Came only about two steps, then darted back to first, and Craig fired over there, but they had no play on Santo. Here's the pitch. He's around the bunt and takes it instead. It's inside ball one. Now Hodges, after breaking up the line to cover on the bunt, goes again over to talk to Roger Craig. Boy, they would love to pick off Ron Santo in this spot if they could. But you can bet that Santo will be operating with a lot of caution. He was picked off by Craig back in the second inning. Cliff Cook in very close to third looking for that bunt. Here's the stretch. He gives himself up, turns to bunt, a throw to first, not in time. Nobody out. Last half of the ninth inning. Landrum, a big man for the New York Mets in this spot. A throw to first, not in time. Craig trying to keep Santo pinned on first to give the infield a chance at the force play at second base.
So far, Landrum has been completely giving himself up. He's around the bunt and takes outside and low ball two. Now it's 2-0 on Landrum, and he checks with Charlie Metro, his manager on the line, to third. Roger Craig trying to work out of a tough spot here on the last of the ninth inning. Now the stretch by Craig. Here's the pitch. He busts, pops the ball up. It's a foul ball. Chidi grabs it for the out. Landrum fouls out to Chidi, trying to bunt the runner over. Now Elvin Taffy is being called back, and let's see who comes out of the dugout. Might be Ernie Banks. Crowd all around the Cub dugout, standing waiting. And here comes Ernie Banks. With 14 home runs and 31 runs batted in. Now Casey Stengel makes a defensive switch. Rod Keneal comes in at third, replacing Cliff Cook. Rod Keneal at third, replacing Cliff Cook. And the pinch batter is Ernie Banks. The all-time home run hitter in Chicago Cub history. Outfield deep and around toward left for Ernie. Mets have the infield looking for two. Charlie Neal shaded toward second. Mantilla back deep and short and played toward the hole. Now the stretch. Here's the pitch on the way. A breaking ball over. Strike one called. Mets two and the Cubs one. Last half of the night. Ron Santo. Fairly fast man on first base, one down. Craig makes the 1 second stop, delivers. A swing and a foul, back to the screen, and now it's strike two on Ernie Banks. Alex Grammas, the shortstop, hitting eighth, waiting in the on-deck circle. Mets scored one run in the first on a home run by Neal and then broke the tie in the sixth inning. Cubs scored their run in the third. Here's the pitch on the way. A line drive to left center for a base hit by Ernie Banks. Around second is Spano. He's already played a third. Runners on first and third, one out. So Ernie Banks, batting for Elvin Taffy, and behind on the count, delivers a base hit, and Bob Will is coming up now to bat for Alex Grammas. Bob Will, a left-hand hitter, is coming on to bat for Alex Grammas. Casey waiting for the announcement to be made. He has Kim McKenzie, a left-hander, working in the bullpen. Now Casey doesn't want to cross the line until Bob Will is announced, so he turns to say to the plate umpire, Jack Crawford, at the end of the game. Barney Schultz, the knuckleballer, warming up for the Chicago Cubs. McKenzie and Anderson in the bullpen for the Mets. The Cubs now have the tying run 90 feet away on third. Outfielder Bob Will being sent up now by Charlie Metro to bat for Alex Grammas. In the ninth inning at Yankee Stadium, the Orioles came up with three runs. They now lead the Yankees 5-0 going into the last of the ninth inning. Well, we have the discussion at the mound now. Casey out there along with Gil Hodges and Harry Chidi and Rod Keneal. And now the sign is made by Casey, and Kim McKenzie will come in to try and save this one. Kim McKenzie will be brought on to face Bob Will. Thank you.
Jim McKnight, a right-hand batter, is standing in the on-deck circle. Will now has been announced by Pat Piper. Ken McKenzie is coming in. And now let's see if McKnight goes up to hit for Will or if McKnight is out there to hit for the pitcher. And now McKnight, I believe, well, let's just wait. They're standing side by side talking things over. And Charlie Metro is coming down to talk to both of them near the plate.
Roger Craig getting a good hand as he leaves the game. Roger going out of the game after 8 1/3.
At the moment, has given up 1 run, 10 hits, walked 2, and struck out 4. Well, this has been a thrilling ninth inning, and it isn't over yet. The Mets had a strong threat at the top of the ninth inning, but Don Elspin came on to relieve Dick Ellsworth. He got the pinch batter, Sammy Taylor, on a ground ball for the third out, and the Mets left 3. Ken McKenzie hoping now that he can get Jim McKnight to hit that ball on the ground. Now McKnight is going to bat for Bob Will. So both managers going with the percentages all the way. It'll be a right-hand hitter, McKnight, facing a southpaw, Ken McKenzie. Put Will in the game because he was announced, and that, was, of course, was what Casey was waiting for. After McKenzie was announced, then Charlie Metro goes to Jim McKnight. So Ken McKenzie walks into a tough one. 2-1, the Mets in front, 1 down. Cubs with runners on first and third. For Ken McKenzie, this will be his 17th ball game. Ken has 1-2 and lost 1. And worked a total of 30 1/3 innings. Now Jim McKnight is announced as the bench batter for Bob Will. Mets have the infield hoping for a shot and a double play. Neal shaded toward second, and the outfield fanned around toward left against McKnight. McKnight hitting at 250 on 14-for-56. He came up through the Cardinal organization, acquired by the Cubs, played at Houston last year, and had a good season in AAA. The lead runner on third is Ryan Sano. Ernie Banks on first and 1 down. Mighty nervous situation now here in the last of the ninth inning. Everybody's moving around. Here's the stretch by McKenzie. In comes his pitch. Ground ball hit the shortstop. And Peter O'Neill is one on the first. Double play. The game is over. The Mets win it. The Mets win the ball game on a double play started by Felix Mantilla. Jim McKenzie threw one pitch of curveball, and it was just the right one. Jim McKnight hit a ground ball to short. Ball wasn't hit extremely hard, and the Mets couldn't waste a moment. But Mantilla pegged over to Charlie Neal, and Neal made a strong throw on to Gil Hodges, and the New York Mets win it by a score of 2-1. And what a thrilling finish for Casey Stengel's Amazing Mets. A big double play if you ever saw one. The Mets win the ball game in the ninth inning for the Cubs. No runs, one hit, no errors, and one left on. Left-hander Ken McKenzie coming in to throw only one pitch, getting 2 outs, and preserving a richly deserved triumph for Roger Craig. Wow, that was quite a finish. Mets now lead in this series 3-1, and they'll be trying for a sweep in the nightcap. Let's check our time, 3:31 in Chicago, 4:31 in New York. So we'll be back with a recap of the first game in just a moment. The final score in the opener, the Mets 2 and the Chicago Cubs 1. Woo-hee! Well, you know, being New York's largest selling beer, you'd figure that Rheingold had quite a story behind it. But actually, it can be summed up in 2 words, extra dry, like a game was summed up in two words, double play. Yes, sir, those 2 little words tell you why Rheingold has a flavor all its own. An extra refreshing flavor other beers just don't have. Rheingold brews the long, slow, costlier way, and it makes a big difference in taste. The flavor of Rheingold comes through brisk and bright and clean. It's beer as beer should taste. Any wonder, then, that millions of people say, my beer is Rheingold, the dry beer. But discover the difference that dry makes yourself.
Folks, enjoy a fine Cole Rheingold along with the game. Now just open up or order up Rheingold Extra Dry. Now the line score on today's first game of the doubleheader for the New York Mets, 2 runs on 10 hits. They played flawlessly in the field. They played brilliantly in the field. 2 pickoff plays, 2 double plays, a beauty of a double play started by Gil Hodges, and the dramatic double play that saved the game in the last half of the 9th inning. The Mets had 8 left stranded. For the Chicago Cubs, 1 run, 10 hits, no errors, and the Cubs left 7. The winning pitcher, Roger Craig. Roger now 2-0 on the year against the Cubs, has won 3 and lost 8. And lifetime against the Cubs, Roger Craig now has won 7 while losing just 3. The losing pitcher, Dick Ellsworth, who pitched a strong ball game. Ellsworth, 0-1 against the Mets this year, now has won 4 while losing 8. For the New York Mets, Charlie Neal got them out in front in the first inning when he lined a home run to left field for Charlie, his 5th home run of the year. The Chicago Cubs tied the game in the 3rd on back-to-back triples by Lou Brock and Ken Hubbs. And right in that spot, Roger Craig turned in a superb job on the mound. With Hubbs on 3rd, the game tied 1-1 and nobody out in the heart of the batting order coming up. Craig got the dangerous Billy Williams to ground out to Gil Hodges, the runner holding. He got George Altman on an infield pop-up and Ron Santo on a fly ball to left field. Craig was finishing very strong. He had retired 10 of the last 11 men coming into the 9th inning. But he gave up only his 2nd walk to Santo in the last of the 9th. A base hit by pinch hitter Ernie Banks put runners on 1st and 3rd, 1 out. And Ken McKenzie, with a good breaking ball, got Jim McKnight, the pinch hitter, to bounce into the big double play. The winning run was manufactured on a key play involving Cliff Cook. Back in the 6th inning, Christopher beat out an infield hit. With 2 men down and Cook at bat, Casey put on a hit-and-run play, and Cook delivered with a base hit to right center. Christopher raced around to 3rd. The only wild pitch of the game came at that point by Dick Ellsworth on a curveball in the dirt. And in the score, what proved to be the winning run was Joe Christopher. So Craig the winner, Ellsworth the loser. Mets winning it 2-1. Now lead the series by a score of 3-1. In the nightcap, it's Ray Davio making his first major league start against Bob Anderson, making his first start of the season. His games prior to today have all been in relief. The 2nd game should be getting underway. Probably about 10 minutes still, so we'll be back with you in about another 18 or possibly 20 minutes. So until then, this is Bob Murphy speaking for Lindsey Nelson and Ralph Kiner, saying we'll be right back with you for the 2nd game of the doubleheader. But right now, this is so long, everybody. This is the New York Mets Baseball Network.
And this is WGY, where you hear all the games of the New York Mets.